Why is it that so much of Netflix content for children promotes a transgender ideology? Almost half of your content for children, I'm talking about minor children now, I'm not talking about teenagers, minor children. Just 2 days ago, a jury in New York awarded a former transitioner $2 million because she said that her psychologists and others pressured her into, they pushed on her an ideology that proved to be extremely detrimental in the UK. The National Health Service in the UK has said that they're not going to perform transgender surgeries or any longer so-called gender-affirming care for minors, including in counseling, because it is so incredibly detrimental. Our own HHS has come forward with similar findings this past year, yet if you turn on Netflix, you'll find that an enormous amount, and I say this as a parent with three young children, an enormous amount of your children's programming has this ideology and agenda in it. Is this an advocacy position for Netflix? Is this an ideological commitment you have? I mean, why is this?
Senator Ali, Netflix has no political agenda of any kind.
As you would see, if you looked at her and not her chart, Bailey is not a boy. And by treating her like one, you are completely ignoring who she is. You're making her feel insignificant and humiliated. And that's not going to help her feel good or safe or calm. So, from here on out, please recognize her for who she is. And if at all possible, could you find me a non-blue hospital gown?
Netflix's predatory gobbling up of Warner Brothers and an $82 billion merger designed to forge an unstoppable woke propaganda behemoth. Everything from Netflix's parade of gender-fluid fairy tales and climate hysteria.
There's just not as many bugs and animals in the park anymore because of climate change. And now the whole Earth's climate is changing because of things humans do, like making tons of emissions.
Yeah, it's making the whole Earth hotter than usual.
To Warner's legacy franchises twisting into vehicles for DEI indoctrination, to be put all under one roof to pump out endless narratives that erode family values. And the boomer wokesters aren't even aware of the lion's den they are entering.
So forgive me if I'm a little concerned, not only as a parent, but also that somebody believes that we ought to have a wide variety of content options. There are some, but the overwhelming majority of your stuff right now is overwhelmingly woke. And it's not reflective of what the American people want to see.
So respectfully, if you ask a Netflix member today, or a consumer today generally, how they view Netflix, I think that but a proof point that we might be doing the right thing is they talk about Netflix in the exact same terms as they talk about the country. About 40% conservative, about 40% liberal, and about 20% don't know.
Did you catch that? Netflix co-CEO Ted Sarandos thinks that the country is 40% conservative and 40% liberal and 20% just don't know. Well, the emerging Generation X population just surpassed boomers by 1 million.
Boomers respond with anger. Millennials respond with anxiety. And him?
Couldn't care less.
And according to a recent Gallup poll, a record high, 45% of U.S. adults identified as political independents in 2025, surpassing the 43% measured in 2014, 2023, and 2024. Meanwhile, equal shares of U.S. adults identified as either Democrats or Republicans. Snap out of it. The psychological warfare isn't going to work anymore. A digital leviathan controlled by elite overlords in Silicon Valley and Hollywood is going to go down like the Hindenburg. Ted Sarandos has no clue what the American people actually want.
There are plenty of things an aftermarket vagina can do that a stock vagina cannot. Like destroy the fabric of Western civilization as we know it. Jesus before he even has a chance to start an apocalyptic death cult and ruin the world.
It was this very programming that ultimately woke up the sleeping giant. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Journal. Happy Friday, everyone. Jumping on today with a lot going on in the world. A lot of incredible people will be joining the show today, so buckle up. Buckle up. It's a good one. Folks, we got our eyes all over the place right now. Specifically, we're calling out the rhinos during today's show, and I look forward to that. We also have some good Maha news, and I love to have good Maha news. And we're going to do a continuation of a story that we told you about yesterday. Michael Hugue is going to join the program. Mike was the individual that Sonia Labosco was talking about yesterday in regards to him trying his best to fight for his life. And he was able to do so by trying out experimental drugs. He had a brain tumor, a massive brain tumor. And it was described as terminal, the cancer that he was facing. But he has since surpassed even the experts' expectations. He's going to join us today to talk about specifically the clinical trials that are needed, obviously, but most importantly on how Americans can stand up for their own medical freedom, why it's so important for, let's say you have a terminal illness and you want to try an experimental drug, to be able to have access to that. So we look forward to having him on the show to discuss just that. We'll also have Robert Newcomb on the program as well, discussing drones. There's drones going up in Michigan. It's obviously a privacy issue. They're going to be surveilling the area. It just so happens, of course, to be in a highly dense Islamic community. We'll talk about that with him. Also, Dan Lyman on the program as well. Dan's been working on a bunch of stories over at Infowars.com, so he's got a lot to talk about in regards to that. Mel Kay also jumping on the show as well. WEF is still on my mind. I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of people who came back, specifically, though, American politicians who came back after visiting those in Davos. And they're doing everything possible to stand up for the globalist agenda rather than what their voters voted them in for. So Mel Kay will be joining us for that. We'll also be doing a bit of a last-minute add-on in today's show. I'll break that down for you once everything becomes finalized. But there's a lot going on over here. A lot going on over here. As many of you guys know, I'm going to start off with clip three because, you know, I've been very, very critical in regards to how the president has handled the Epstein files. He hasn't done a good job, and that's putting it nicely. In clip three, we're going to hear from a victim who, and it's really upsetting, but she's being critical of the administration because of how they released the files. A lot of victim information was put out there. But again, I told you this, we haven't seen anything bombshell. We haven't seen any of these elitists get looped into the Epstein files. Now she is calling it out properly. Take a listen to clip three.
Country wants to move on from the Epstein files. Is that how you feel?
Well, first, let me say, Caitlin, thank you so much for having me back. And I know I don't just speak for myself when I say I really appreciate how persistent you were in questioning this administration about their failure with this release. I don't think it's something to smile about, and I thought you handled it very appropriately. I'm not surprised that Trump is ready to move on and that this DOJ is ready to move on, but we are certainly not, especially after we saw how poorly this last release of documents was handled.
And what is it that you do want? You know, people see this release. There was information that a lot of people felt should have been redacted that wasn't, or information that shouldn't have been, including that of victims and survivors that was. What was it that yeah. you've heard and that you saw?
I saw three primary issues with the way that where we are right now with this release. One was there were, for people that aren't looking through these documents themselves, I think it's hard to understand the quantity of documents that included personal identifying information about survivors. A list of names that was literally called the Epstein victim list that had something like, you know, 40 or 50 names, primarily of minor victims, completely unredacted except for one name, right? And then, as we know from the New York Times reporting, nude images of girls and young women that were released by our government, that's really them distributing child sexual abuse materials, right? Like, these are horrific things that happened during this release. And so those are, you know, that is a huge issue. But then we also saw documents that were, you know, victim statements completely blacked out, 3 pages of black ink, and then a small portion that wasn't, saying something like, you know, this is why I'm so scared of these powerful men that harmed me. So obviously people in positions of power continuing to be protected, the exact thing that the law was supposed to outline was not supposed to happen. And then third, we know that there is other pertinent information that has still not been released. Of course, people are continuing to sort through files. There is a lot, but you know, for example, my sister Maria Farmer, in the first release, we saw part of her 1996 report to the FBI where she outlined the theft of photos that she had taken for her art, but she also described her own assault at Les Wexner's property, and she described my assault at Zora Ranch. And I don't believe there's any way that those were not documented as well, and we're still not seeing that. Is it because it included other names of powerful people? You know, we don't know. But when they say we've released everything that's, you know, pertinent to this investigation, we're not buying it.
Yeah. When people said they wanted to see the Epstein list, they weren't talking about a list of underage girls that he assaulted. They're talking about the powerful people in his orbit and accountability for that.
Okay, all on board for this, right? I'm all on board for the accountability. I'm all on board figuring out who is exactly was the individuals, the A-list celebrities, the globalists, the politicians, the pigs, the animals that were raping children. It's really frustrating, though, hearing CNN talking about it, though, as if they were ever calling on this to be released during the Biden regime years. Of course they weren't. So they are politicizing off it. But this administration allowed them to do just that. He made, and I'm talking about President Trump, a commitment to releasing the files. And it's been an absolute mess. You didn't need the legislation to be pushed through to get the administration to release those files. If they would have given us a deadline, whether it took them a year or 2 years, and just told us that they were going to be giving us information, but they have to sift through everything, that would have been fair. But they were forced through legislation to do just that. Now they've pushed out information, which I think is intentional, which is meant to give the argument that, well, we have to protect the victims here. And so now we're just going to pull back a bunch of documents and not release everything. To me, in my opinion, it seems like they are intentionally trying to put victims out there. They can say, all right, we need to start pulling this back. We can't put out everything. We have to be more thorough. Everything that's gone on with the Epstein files has been an absolute mess. They've handled it completely inappropriately. And it's okay to say that out loud. It's okay. But again, CNN wasn't calling it out during the Biden regime years. So spare me, Caitlin. All of a sudden now she's a fighter for sexual victims' rights. It doesn't even make any sense. Doesn't even make any sense. These people are intentionally using it, and unfortunately the White House has just allowed that to happen. Why? Because they're not being transparent like they told you they were going to be. Let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk immigration. Let's call it the rhinos this time around. I'm so frustrated with these people because what they've done now is they've obviously successfully have pushed forward this new kind of immigration that we're going to be apparently enforcing, right? We're not going to enforce all the laws. We're going to nitpick a little bit. The president saying that we're only going after those violent criminal aliens, even though the American people voted for all illegal aliens to be deported. It's obviously the PR nightmare that's happening for them. We always knew it was going to happen, by the way. Like, as soon as election night took place, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. They find the one image of the crying boy getting put into a car after his parents abandoned him, allegedly. And they push that out. And it's a PR nightmare for the administration. And so now everyone is following along. They're all getting in line. They're all getting in line. We knew this was going to happen from day one. This wasn't a surprise. This wasn't a surprise. So now we have rhinos. We have a couple of rhinos, actually. We're going to be calling them out throughout the show. But we have specific rhinos who are going out there, and they're now advocating for certain illegal aliens to stay in this country. Maria Salzer is an individual who's from Florida. Now, she says she's a Republican, but I've been following her for quite some time now. She's not a Republican. I grilled her office a couple of years back when she decided to go to the World Economic Forum. She was president in Davos, and she saw nothing wrong with it. Her team, in fact, ignored me when I was repeatedly asking questions. She doesn't push back on the WEF agenda. She instead gets in line with it. Yesterday, she was speaking, and this was caught a lot of attention. In clip one, she was speaking, and she's specifically outlining those illegal aliens that she deems shouldn't be deported from this country. Take a listen.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables, and better fruits. So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status.
Ah, those. That's slave labor. I mean, that's what she's trying not to talk about, but that's what she's talking about there. You could find American citizens who would do those jobs. If you pay them a fair wage, they would do it. To sit here and to pretend like we need illegal aliens because these jobs are undesirable is absurd. See, it's the same problem with H-1B visas. Corporations, farms, they're able to go after the most vulnerable population, people who don't live here, don't have citizenship here, and they get to abuse them, make them work extensive hours, not pay them a livable wage. And they do it because, well, they're desperate, these people. I don't think they should be in the country at all. Maria Salzer is talking for the globalists. She's not talking for the American people. She wants us to be infiltrated. This is not a Republican stance. It shouldn't be a Republican stance, I should say. But it is at this point. These rhino Republicans are trying their very best now to advocate for these illegal aliens. And it's working. I mean, President Trump has just said that they're not going to be rounding them all up. He's only going to go after the worst of the worst. And it's not just the Florida congresswoman. Sadly, there's also a Republican governor in Ohio, Mark DeWine. I can't even speak today. Happy Friday, everyone. He's out here, and he's also trying to talk about how President Trump shouldn't just end that protective status that was given out by the Biden regime to Haitians. Because apparently, Haitians, well, they play a big role in Ohio's economy. It's a real head scratcher. Take a listen to clip two.
Big consensus for that. I think where, you know, we start losing people is when we're looking at people who are working hard every day. The Haitians in Springfield are one example of that. Under temporary protected status, they're here legally, and they're working. And what the employers have told me time and time again is we hired Haitians year, two, 3 years ago, frankly, because we couldn't fill these jobs. And Springfield is actually, put my governor's hat on now from the point of view of economic development. Springfield has been moving forward. Springfield is coming back. Part of the reason they've been able to come back is because of these Haitians who are there. They're not only working, but of course they're spending money in the community. There's been businesses started, restaurants have started. And if we lose all those, if they lose temporary protected status, then they no longer can work and the companies can't employ them, that's a blow to the economy. That's a blow to the state. I mean, if you look at Ohio's growth, just one more statistic. If you look at Ohio's growth in the last few years, over half that growth has come from immigrants who are here and they're working. And they're helping the economy grow and helping us.
And these are arguments that you have.
Yeah, that's not a good one. Folks, when you have a Republican out there advocating for illegal aliens who were literally put on planes, by the way, and brought into this country by the Biden regime, that's what these protective status Haitians were brought in on here on. When you have them coming here and you're saying it's a blow to your economy if we get rid of these people, are you kidding me? Maybe that's the problem here. How are they working? Who's employing these people? They don't belong in this country. The Biden regime put these Haitians on flights and flew them directly into our country. Flew them directly here. They were put in Ohio and other places to change the demographics. And Republican governors, are too dumb to realize what's going on here. And they're not contributing to your economy. When we see the statistics when it comes to how many of these Haitians are on welfare, the majority of them are on welfare when they come into our country. So cut the crap. You're lying to the American people. You're doing this because it's slave labor. Your big donors are probably loving this because they're able to pay these people a non-existent wage. They were flown. This is slavery, people. They were flown into this country under the Biden administration through this protective status. And they were particularly put in areas which are normally historically white areas to completely shift over the demographics. Springfield, Ohio was never a sanctuary for Haitians. I've done stories in Ohio, was recently there, maybe it was last year. And you can't even pick up an Uber driver without there being a Mohammed who's coming to pick you up. You can't even enjoy Ohio the way you used to be able to enjoy Ohio. It's been completely transformed. And there's a reason. And Republican governors like that, who'd rather just be non-controversial, telling you, which is actually really bad. Imagine if your economy relied, this is what he's alleging, of course. Imagine if your economy relied on Haitians to keep it afloat. Now, don't get me wrong. I know plenty of good Haitian doctors who have moved to this country. You know, I come from New York. I come from an area, but they assimilated. That's the difference. They were brought in small groups and they assimilated. They went to our medical schools. They contribute. We're not talking about people, adults who can't even read on the fifth grade reading level being brought into our country. Springfield, Ohio was notorious for the allegations that these Haitians that were being brought in were hunting down cats. Were hunting down little animals, slaughtering them and eating them, because in their culture, that was completely normal. I mean, this video itself is absolutely vile. I don't even know if this was actually a Haitian woman. I think this might have been someone mentally ill. But we saw the stories. We saw tons of stories in regards to all of this. And now we have the governor of Ohio who claims to be Republican telling you, no, we actually need, these illegal invaders. Again, folks, this is slavery. This is slavery. And this is the problem here. There's been ton of reports, tons of allegations in regards to the people that were brought into this country. And the majority of them are, in fact, on welfare. They are on welfare. Welfare services were never meant to feed the rest of the world. They were meant to be helping American families. That was it. It was a crutch, never meant to be long term. It was a crutch to help families out. And since it's been expanded to people who should be working but aren't working because they don't want to work, those kind of America, that it's been extended over to illegal aliens as well. I mean, folks, this was all a part of the plan. Let me remind you, the Biden administration was actually flying these people. It makes me so angry. They were actually flying these people on planes into our country and bringing them to areas to change the demographics. And here we have a Republican governor, Mark DeWine, out here saying, oh, we need them. Please don't deport the Haitians. We need them. We don't need Haitians. Haitians didn't build this great country. They can't even fix their own country. And it's not to be a total diss on Haitian people. We have great Haitian Americans. I know them personally. But folks, these are people who have gone to our education school, like our system, our educational system. They've gone to all these places. These are people who are contributing to our society. These aren't people who are brought in from Haiti who cannot read, cannot speak English, cannot assimilate. Those people are eating bushmeat, and we brought them into our country. They need to go. They all need to go. And any Republican that's against that is an absolute coward. I don't care if it's controversial to stand up and say, no, we actually don't want people from third world countries in our country. Folks, if we import them all, because they don't ever have like a quota, right? They're not like, okay, let's take it a couple, 1,000. It's never an actual quota. They're trying to change the demographics in this country drastically. These are people that hate us. People that hate us. And speaking of people that hate us, there was just actually an Obama-appointed federal judge who took it upon herself to block ICE from being able to utilize the IRS and their database to identify illegal aliens. Now, the interesting part here is there was just a court ruling that said, okay, the IRS can actually use, DHS can actually use the IRS system to identify illegals. And again, it's another federal judge stepping in now and overriding that and saying, no, you can't. And they're temporarily blocking it, saying that they possibly believe that this could be a violation of these taxpayers' privacy rights. She's currently blocking the IRS from sharing that data until the court can review the court case itself. So no surprise there, folks. No surprise there. It's so frustrating. These judges, these courts, it's a never-ending battle. It's a never-ending battle. Why do we even have elections if we're just going to allow these judges to do whatever they want? Folks, I want to get to another story in regards to Russ Vogt. Russ Vogt was actually almost murdered. A 26-year-old man who apparently lives in Maryland, Colin DeMarco, is now under arrest. He's suspected for arriving at Russ Vogt's home. As many of you guys know, Russ Vogt runs OMB. That's the budget division over at the White House. He's a great person. Apparently, they're accusing Colin of showing up to Russ Vogt's home wearing a surgical mask, gloves, and carrying a backpack. He was apparently motivated by this fascist takeover under President Trump following the 2024 election. DeMarco, who admitted to agents he went to confront Vogt over his role in Project 2025, denied intent to harm him, though. Now, there's obviously mental health issues here with this individual. He's now facing serious charges, including attempted murder. And others, he also was apparently carrying a weapon as well. So he has since been arrested. He was arrested back last month. He's being held without bail. And his next scheduled court appearance is February 23rd, 2026. Again, this is the left for you guys. We keep talking about this. This is the left for you. They're a conglomerate of just radical terrorists, the mentally ill. And this is why Democrats continuously use very key words when trying to get them to go out there to do something. You know, it's what they continue to do. The fact that this guy is still using that exact quote, fascist takeover, and those on the left continue to call President Trump a fascist, tells you everything you need to know about the left. They know what they're doing. They know that their mentally ill followers will go out there and do their dirty work for them. So thank God Russ Vogt's okay. He's a great man, great patriot. I've had the pleasure of meeting Russ. We've had him on my podcast before as well. Good person. Very good person. Just absolutely disgusting. This is what they're up against. So this is why people don't work for the government. They don't want to work in this administration. Good people don't want to work in the government. This is why DC is so swampy. There's a crap like this. Crap like this. Hopefully this individual gets a very stiff sentence. And by stiff sentence, I mean never gets let out of prison. But you never know. You never know. If a Democrat ever gets into the White House, they'll probably pardon him. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we just launched those new electrolyte drink packs. You got to head on over right now. It's Optimal Human Hydration. It's a electrolyte drink mix with French sea salt. We have two incredible flavors that we just launched, strawberry lemonade, as well as lemon lime. Strawberry lemonade is my fave. You got to head on over right now. thealexjonesstore.com if you're someone looking to increase, you know, your function throughout the day, maybe decrease your brain fog. This is where you want in your schedule. Have it.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced, and then support the broadcast because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the Murdered Out Black, and I love how it's that Kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at theallisjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it Murdered Out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end so you can tie things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one. It's just got that forest green. Call it forest. It's kind of like an in-between forest and olive. It's nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, Murdered Out, and the Skull Crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Goliath Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. Skull Crusher isn't as big. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, really strong, very well made. And you've got it in orange. Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We've got our eyes right now over at the DOJ. Cash Patel, the FBI director, and Pam Bondi are making an announcement very, very soon. We don't know what it is. Maybe it's an arrest. Maybe. I'm doing it wrong. Maybe. One can only hope. Or maybe it's just going to be like another, look what we did. Something that was started under local law enforcement that they're going to take credit for. Who knows? Who knows? But we will bring it to you once it begins because you never know what's going to happen. I'll be hopeful. I'll be optimistic. I think it's a rest. Maybe they got Hillary Clinton. All right. Not going to tell you that dream, but folks, we'll keep our eye on that. It's going to start in like 10 minutes is what it's scheduled for. So we'll bring it to you once it begins, of course. But we've got a lot more to discuss. So buckle up. Buckle up. I want to talk a little bit about MAHA. As many of you guys saw yesterday, President Donald Trump announced the launching of TrumpRx.gov. TrumpRx.gov. Now, apparently, this is going to be a new platform utilized for those who are looking to get affordable prescription drugs, which obviously so many Americans do need access to. So we're all on board with that. I did check, though. We'll let the president talk about it. But I did check. There's no ivermectin available, which had me a little ticked off. But the president made the announcement yesterday in clip 10 regarding all of this. Take a listen.
We're here this evening to celebrate the launch of one of the most transformative healthcare initiatives of all time. There's never been anything like it. Starting tonight, dozens of the most commonly used prescription drugs will be available at dramatic discounts for all consumers throughout a new website. It's called TrumpRx.gov. That's TrumpRx.gov. For years, politicians from both parties have promised to bring down prescription drug prices and make healthcare more affordable, but they all failed. It was all words as usual. They failed and they failed badly. They tried doing this, some of them, most of them didn't even try because they never really had a shot at it. But I'm actually getting it done, and it is done, actually. This launch represents the largest reduction in prescription drug prices in history by many, many times. And it's not even close. You're going to see numbers that you're not going to believe.
All right. Obviously, that's good news. The American people want to hear, of course, that there's going to be affordable ways to obtain medication that you and I both need. Of course, that's good. But again, no ivermectin. I mean, ivermectin should be easily accessible. It should be affordable. It was affordable until they realized that it has multiple uses, and then they started racking up those prices. Going to say that. I remember being extremely cheap. In fact, we use it in third world countries quite often because it was cheap and it was affordable. And for some reason, it's gone up drastically over these last few years, probably due to the fact that the thing they told you it doesn't actually do, it actually does. And they're trying to bank out on that one. But it's not just President Trump getting on board with the MAHA movement, of course, and pushing forward and all of that. I got some really good news yesterday over in Florida. Florida's leading the way. They really are. Governor Ron DeSantis and his wife, Casey DeSantis, yesterday did a little bit of a press conference in regards to bread, because they decided to do a study to see what kind of chemicals are in the bread that you guys get at the supermarket. And I've always known to stay away from it because it's quite obvious that there's a lot wrong with it. But so many Americans, obviously, if you're busy, you have a very busy schedule, you need to get something quick. Do rely on quick food sources just like that. But you'd be surprised, and I was actually quite surprised, that something called glyphosate, as many of you guys know, that's Roundup, is in a lot of these breads. And Casey DeSantis detailed all of that for us in clip 11. Take a listen.
One finding for them really kind of jumped off at the page, and that was the levels of glyphosate. Glyphosate is a weed killer. It's the main ingredient that you find in Roundup and other weed-killing brands. It's designed to kill plants. It is not meant to be eaten. The labels on glyphosate-based pesticides clearly warn that the chemicals are harmful and must be kept out of reach of children. In fact, they include emergency instructions for accidental exposure and make clear these products are not meant for people to touch, not meant for to be into the food, and certainly not meant to be consumed.
Isn't that crazy that we have to even argue this? Why do we allow this to go into our foods? I mean, you look at the breakdown. We actually have the photo of the study that they conducted. The numbers are crazy. And Dave's Killer Bread, I have to say, I've actually purchased that a few times. We have the graphic. Dave's Killer Bread is on the list. And it's interesting because that's one of actually the brands that I used to use. How horrifying is this that we allow all of this to be pushed into our food sources? And we're just supposed to be okay with this. I mean, Wonder Bread is also off the charts. Sarah Lee, I know a lot of people purchase that brand as well. That one, very, very high up on the list. Again, folks, Nature's Own as well. Again, folks, this is a massive issue. I didn't even realize it was this bad. This bad. We need a massive overhaul of our food industry right now. The fact that they have done this to people and we have no idea is pretty insane. I mean, how are you even, this is what's causing cancers. Obviously the vaccines as well, but this is, you know, they sit there and say, we don't understand why there's a large demographic of young people all of a sudden getting cancer at a very young age, turbo cancers, everything. This is the reason why. I mean, they're intentionally poisoning the American people and everyone's just sitting here and allowing it to happen. At what point? And thankfully, the Florida governor has made this a top priority. But guys, I mean, at what point do we say enough is enough? Enough is enough. And we put an end to all of this. It's enraging that we've allowed it to get to this point, but this is what's going on right now in the country. We are all being poisoned. You got to go back to the basics. I mean, even meat, I get it. It's really frustrating too, because to find the source of a lot of the meat products that you're buying, yes, buy local. But folks, I'm not going to sit here and tell people who are struggling to get by to make that a top priority. It's not realistic for so many of my farms. I know when I go to the farmers markets, the price for meat is usually significantly higher than it is in the supermarket. So I understand why people can't buy local. I'm not going to put that pressure on people. But the reality of it is, you know, I see Peter Navarro calling it out. Our meats, our beef products are coming from foreign countries, specifically Brazil, right? We have a high standard for our own American farmers, but for outside farms or farmers that are shipping product in, we don't have those same sets of standards. And so we just allow them to send us whatever. And that's the reason why they're able to send us cheaper products. It's intentionally screwing over American farmers. Now, the antitrust division is investigating the beef products itself to figure out what's going on here. There's four major companies that control the beef prices. And so for American farmers, it's not ideal. And obviously, the administration is aware of that, and they are trying to look into that. Gail Slater, who's running that investigation right now over the antitrust division, I have faith in her to be able to get to the bottom of that. But the reality of it is beef prices are through the roof. They're not coming down anytime soon. Price, it keeps going up. I mean, this one specific brand that I've been purchasing for quite some time now of just lean ground beef, I think it's like 1% fat, very, very lean. It used to be like $9.99 for 2 pounds. And now I'm paying $15.50 usually. So it's insane that it's gotten this bad, but it's there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. Let's shift gears a little bit, because I could ramble about MAHA and all the toxins in our food supply. We're also going to have Tracy Beans on the show next week. She's doing an incredible report in regards to the beef. They've been testing beef and trying to figure out what's actually in the beef that we consume here in the United States. And so she's going to give us a breakdown of that next week, and I look forward to having her on the program, of course. I want to switch gears up a little bit, though. Clip 4 we're going to get to next, because it was actually, gave me a good little chuckle. Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen, he's an individual who obviously, he's been decent on some things, I'll give him that, but he tried to bait yesterday the Treasury Secretary into condemning what happened to Alex Pretty. Now, as many of you guys know, Alex Pretty was shot. He was carrying a firearm. There was a lot of confusion, it looks like. DHS agents were still waiting for the investigation to detail everything, but it looks like DHS agents did obviously fatally shoot him, but we're still trying to sift through the information. DHS did originally put out some information that looks like it could possibly be factually incorrect, so I'll hold there. But he's trying to get him to condemn what happened to Alex Pretty. And Alex Pretty, we've seen the videos of him days prior to all of that, kicking in ICE vehicles, being violent. This isn't someone, again, who was peaceful during his protests. Now, again, we still don't see the full video of what led up to that interaction with law enforcement. But they tried to get the Treasury Secretary to condemn what happened to Alex Pretty. In fact, well, Bessette had something else on his mind, and it's not going to go over too well with those on the left. Take a listen to clip 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No more.
Mr. Secretary, I think you would agree that the credibility of the Secretary of the Treasury is important, and I want to give you a chance to retract a statement that you made on national TV. Alex Pretty was shot 10 times and killed by federal agents in Minneapolis. The administration, some administration, called him a, quote, domestic terrorist. You suggested that Alex Pretty was culpable in his own killing because he had a gun in his waistband holster, which he was licensed to carry. When asked, you said, quote, I'm sorry this gentleman is dead, but, and you went on to say he had a weapon, suggesting that he was culpable in his own killing. So, Mr. Secretary, today, would you like to retract that statement?
I would not. And would you like to express remorse over the death of Ashley Babbitt here in the Capitol?
Oh, I have expressed remorse over that. So I've done that, Mr. Secretary. Mr. Secretary, please don't. So you think, I have other questions, but I actually would have expected you to take this opportunity to rephrase your response to that question. So you think the fact that he legally had a gun justified his killing?
I didn't say that at all.
You said, do you think he was culpable, partly to blame in his own killing because he had a gun?
Did not say that.
I'm asking you a question now. Do you believe he was in any way culpable for his own killing because he legally carried a gun?
Again, this is an FSOC hearing.
Yeah.
So,
but you're the Secretary of the Treasury.
Why do we talk about financial stability and oversight?
I'm happy to, Mr. Secretary, but your credibility is important. And in that response, you really, I think, you know, let down the country. Because we expect honesty after that kind of terrible tragedy. Let me ask you.
Folks, they're trying to gaslight the American people. These are people that were literally trying to give awards out to those like Capitol Police who decided to violently go after unarmed individuals. Alex Pretty was armed, okay? That's the reality behind all of this. He was carrying, and yes, I get it. If he legally had that firearm, that's one thing. But folks, how many of you would run up to federal agents with a firearm and get involved in scruffles like that? I know I wouldn't with my firearm on. It just wouldn't make sense to be there to do that. And we're still waiting for more information to come out because, again, it doesn't look like DHS actually had the all of the details properly put out there. But we've got major, major issues in all of this. They have no problem going out there and talking a whole bunch of you-know-what when it comes to this. But when Ashley Babbitt was an unarmed woman just walking and getting an unauthorized tour of the U.S. Capitol, when she took a bullet to the throat, these were the same people that were trying to justify just that. So cut the crap. Cut the crap. So you don't get to sit there and play both sides of all of this. You don't sit there and get to pretend like that was justifiable. An unarmed woman walking around the U.S. Capitol, taxpayer, veteran. She didn't deserve to die. She didn't deserve to die. They justified their actions for someone who was unarmed. The shooting was absolutely reckless because law enforcement was coming up from behind her. And they protected Byrd, the individual who's responsible for killing Ashley Babbitt. So cut the crap. Cut the crap. Folks, it looks like the press conference might be beginning soon for the AG and Cash Patel. I think we've got it coming up right now in just a few moments. Fox News getting ready to run that. We'll have that up as soon as it starts just to make sure it's okay. But we're keeping our eye on it right now. Want to get something else, though. I don't know if you guys saw this announcement. This is a good one, though. The AG's office yesterday coming out. And this is the Texas AG's office, by the way. Ken Paxton yesterday announcing that he's actually suing to ban the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE from operating inside of Texas. Now, as many of you guys know, Texas has designated them both as terrorist organizations, which means they cannot operate within Texas. Now, thanks to the great reporting of Amy Meck over at the Rare Foundation, they've uncovered a lot of very questionable things that shows that they might actually be operating here in the U.S., here in Texas specifically, though, of course. And they are saying that they are not allowed to be doing that. So the AG's office is now suing. And it's interesting, too, because apparently, according to Amy Mack, CARE actually had an event in Austin called CARE Austin Day. Again, it sounds innocent, but it's not. Never is. They're also pushing in places like Harris County, Muslim American Heritage Month. So that's what's happening right now. The AG, Ken Paxton, being brave enough to go out there and fight back. Oh, and by the way, I actually posted it yesterday on X. I got first dibs on Ken Paxton's endorsement of good friend to the show. Obviously, I'm pulling it up now. But Ken Paxton did come out yesterday, and he endorsed Aaron Wrights. Many of you guys know we've had Aaron Wrights on the show. He comes in studio quite often. He's a fighter, patriot. Yesterday, Ken Paxton, though, did drop a video, and it was very exciting to see, endorsing and backing Aaron Wrights, which is important for us, which is very, very important for us. And if you're wondering why, well, it's because, first off, Aaron Wright's not a politician, so, you know, I really like the guy. He's worked Ken Paxton. I think Ken Paxton's the best AG that we have in the country. The best AG we have in the country. There's no one that goes anywhere near this guy. The fact that he took on all the Islamists first, didn't have to wait for the polls to come out, jumped in the fight. Something that Aaron Reitz wants to do. Aaron Reitz is not a politician, and that's the reason why it's so favorable to get this guy in there. Chip Roy obviously is running against him. I'm not a fan of Chip Roy personally. Just haven't been a fan of him. Several reasons. Number one, I deem a lot of the stuff that he does, in my opinion, to be kind of just theatrical. Holds a press conference and doesn't really do anything else after that. What do I mean by that? Well, before he was even doing anything on air producing, we would ask him to come on shows, his team, and he would just never go on shows. They wouldn't respond, but they wanted us to air his press conferences. To me, it was absolutely useless because I want to ask you questions. I don't want to go with a soft, cushy little presser. And so multiple times we reached out, never wanted to come on. I think, and I don't even disagree with him on a lot. I just think that he has not done enough. And I've heard him several times sit there and say, I'm the guy who wins elections. I think most Americans are done with politicians. I don't think we want to deal with politicians anymore. Folks, AG Pambani is popping out right now for that press conference that's happening at the DOJ right now. Let's take a listen.
Good morning. On September 11th, 2012, Americans watched horrified as our embassy in Benghazi came under a vicious terror attack. We lost 4 American lives that day. Ambassador Chris Stevens, Sean Smith with the State Department, and 2 CIA contractors, Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods. We have never forgotten those heroes, and we have never stopped seeking justice for that crime against our nation. In fact, from day one, Cash and Dan would sit in meetings and say, we're going to get them. And they did. Today, I'm proud to announce that the FBI has arrested one of the key participants behind the Benghazi attack. Zubair Al-Bakash landed at Andrews Air Force Base at 3 a.m. this morning. He is in our custody. He was greeted by Director Patel and U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro. Hillary Clinton famously once said about Benghazi, what difference at this point does it make? Well, it makes a difference to Donald Trump. It makes a difference to those families. And 14 years later, it makes a difference to law enforcement who made the difference in this case. Thank you, President Trump, for supporting all of our agencies around the country and around the world. Al-Bakash will now face American justice on American soil. We will prosecute this alleged terrorist to the fullest extent of the law. He'll face charges related to murder, terrorism, arson, among others. Let this case serve as a reminder. If you commit a crime against the American people anywhere in this world, President Trump's Justice Department will find you. It might not happen overnight, but it will happen. You can run, but you cannot hide. We are immensely grateful to our partners, especially at the State Department and the CIA, who lost lives in the Benghazi attack. Director Patel and the FBI agents did tireless work to track and arrest this man. I want to thank everyone standing behind me, all the agents who work so great with our lawyers, with our national security lawyers and around the world to bring this terrorist to justice. And I have a statement to read from Director Radcliffe. He wanted to be here. He couldn't be here. He's busy protecting our world. He's deeply grateful for the relentless efforts of the Department of Justice and the FBI to bring justice to the individual allegedly responsible for the death of Americans in the horrific 2012 Benghazi attack. CIA and the nation will never forget the extraordinary services and sacrifices of Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty, who gave their lives in defense of others and exemplified the very best of our agency. I'd now like to turn it over to Director Patel for remarks. And I again want to thank him for his relentless work in this case.
General, thank you. And I want to steal one of your lines. Never forget. Pam never forgot. The president never forgot. This FBI never forgot. And certainly U.S. Attorney Pirro never forgot. When an act of terrorism of this magnitude strikes at the heart of our nation, we go to work. President Trump has given us the full resources, the interagency, to make sure we deliver justice. And Pam, you're right. Dan and I did sit down early on about this to bring justice. But you led the effort. You brought together the interagency. You said we are going to get this done because no one agency alone can do it. So we are thankful to have an attorney general at the Department of Justice who works together with every single cabinet secretary and enforce the law. What you saw today, and I want to get, or what you're going to see today, I want to address it in a minute, but I want to remind the folks out there the work of this Department of Justice. We were here just a few short months ago talking about how we were going to raise the RFJ for another violent offender on the run, Ryan Wedding. And what did we do under Attorney General's leadership? And what do we do when President Trump said, go get the worst of the worst? We captured him. We captured together under President Trump's leadership six of the FBI's most wanted fugitives in one calendar year. To put that in perspective, that is two more than the entirety of the prior administration. And you cannot do that alone at the FBI. You have to have an attorney general and a Department of Justice willing to prosecute, willing to go to the four corners of the earth and make sure we deliver justice. And that's what we're doing here today. I was at the airfield with U.S. Attorney Pirro earlier this morning when we did the formal foreign transfer of custody of Bakush into U.S. custody to face prosecution under her auspices and her office. And the Department of Justice are going to execute justice for the fallen. As a young prosecutor at CTS in the National Security Division, I worked on the Benghazi case. This was very near and dear and personal to me. We lost four brave Americans in Chris, Sean, Kyle, and Steve. And we can never, ever, ever forget them. Ever. And we will not. In order to put something like this together, it doesn't happen overnight. The FBI's hostage rescue team, the FBI's critical incident response group, our special flight operations unit, and countless others, along with the agents in the New York field office who never forgot Benghazi and never let the world forget it, endured over a decade to bring yet another terrorist who killed four Americans to justice. That is a relentless pursuit of mission that can only happen when you have an interagency who's willing to get after it. I'm extremely thankful to the CIA and Director Ratcliffe and our other law enforcement partners for making sure.
We're going to hit the pause button on this for just a second because we're up against a hard commercial break. But obviously, this is a big story breaking right now. We'll get to it in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
We'll be right back.
with us today. I want to bring you back to that press conference that's in D.C. right now going on. Obviously, this is a major update regarding the Benghazi terror attack. Folks, let's listen back in.
An American ambassador, elite military personnel, and a State Department employee were all violently murdered. For 13 hours, the American cavalry never came. For 13 hours, they waited for help that never came. Today, President Trump is making sure that American justice is coming for those individuals responsible for the deaths of those four Americans. Bakush is now on U.S. soil because of the President, Attorney General Pam Bondi, and Kash Patel. The FBI, the Department of Justice, never forgot. There are prosecutors in this room right now who have been in the office for 13 years and have consistently handled this matter in this case. This department will never forget the seemingly forgotten in that outpost in Benghazi. Bakush was first charged by complaint in 2015, which was sealed for 11 years. An indictment, an 8-count indictment, has been unsealed, and it charges Bakush with the murder of Ambassador Chris Stevens, the murder of State Department employee Sean Smith, the attempted murder of State Department Special Agent Scott Wicklund, and conspiracy to provide materials for terrorists and support that resulted in the death of four Americans, as well as arson at the special mission. I don't have to go through all of the facts, but every one of us remembers this case. I reported on it when I worked at Fox. I had relationships, as Kash Patel just said, with the families. And last night, as soon as they were in custody, because of Pam and because of Kash, we had a limited unsealing order from Judge Cooper that allowed me to speak to the family members to let them know that justice was coming for Bakush. I spoke with Sean Smith's mother, who I've known for years and have communicated with for years. I spoke with Tyrone Woods' wife, widow, Dr. Dorothy Woods. I spoke with Ambassador Chris Stevens' family, as well as Glenn Doherty's brother, Greg, as well as his widow. These were people who never expected that justice would be coming. They never knew about the determination in this room and behind me and the incredible work of the FBI along this case for years and years, because this was something that mattered. The Benghazi saga was a painful one for Americans. It has stayed with all of us. And let me be very clear, there are more of them out there. Time will not stop us from going after these predators, no matter how long it takes, in order to fulfill our obligation to those families who suffered horrific pain at the hands of these violent terrorists. And now, I again want to tell everyone that American justice is here, that President Trump will make sure that the cavalry comes for Americans no matter where they are in this world. Thank you.
We'll take a few questions.
I'm looking, I have a on topic and an off topic.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about how he was captured, where he was captured. Was he in jail for a while before? Was he at home? What can you tell us about how this all went down?
We're not going to give out a lot of the details, but I'm going to let Kash take what we can say.
The general's right. We have to protect the integrity of the investigation and the ongoing prosecution. That's of the utmost importance. It always is, to make sure even this individual, receives the constitutional protections only afforded in the United States of America.
All right, but folks, I'm going to step in here because gets another hard commercial break. But that is the photo that has been released by Fox News of the individual who's been taken into custody. We'll bring you more details on that throughout today's show. So buckle up. More discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy. It locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Obviously, big news coming out in regards to Benghazi. We'll bring you the details. We're waiting on that criminal complaint to be made public, and then I will sift through that and bring you what is most important. But that's big news coming to us right now from Washington, D.C. They say that they have arrested one of the top terrorists involved in that Benghazi terror attack that took the lives of so many brave Americans. And Fox News publishing this photo, of course, of that suspect. Now, again, the DOJ saying that this was the main person involved in all of that, Al-Ba-Kashu. That is his name. So we'll keep your eyes on that, and we'll let you know when anything big happens there. But I want to buckle down to a story we brought to you yesterday. As many of you guys know, we had Sonia Labasco on the program. And Sonia is a big, obviously, a fan of what's going on all around the medical movement. She wants the help. And this is the big thing with Sonia. She is, as many years as I've known her, she's been a very helpful person and wants to help those who need it the most. And Sonia brought this story and put it on my radar. And we shared the details with you yesterday briefly, but, you know, I wanted to learn more about the fight for medical freedom. As many of you guys know, we talk about it on this program quite often when it comes to things like the COVID vaccines and others. But when it comes to those who are diagnosed with terminal illnesses, they just want a shot and they want to be able to try out different experimental drugs because, well, what do they have to lose? They're fighting for their lives. Now, obviously, President Trump was on board with all of that. And he's done just that over both the first term and second term. But there's a lot that needs to be fixed, specifically, though, through the FDA and HHS. And it's something that's worth fighting for. You know, we talk about it often, but yesterday we had Sonia on to talk about someone specifically, Mike Hugo. And he was an individual who is a patient advocate. He was someone who was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he's fighting hard for not only himself, but for others to go out there and to be able to participate in these experimental treatments. Mike joins us now. We're very excited to have him on the program to walk us through what he's endured and what he's advocating for other Americans. And Mike, it's an honor to have you on the program today. You know, Sonia Labasco speaks very highly of you. Not only yesterday when we had you on the show, but yesterday she called me afterwards and she was like, Brianna, Mike is a patriot. He loves this country. He is trying his very best to push and to help other Americans to have access to experimental treatments if they're in this situation. So it's an honor to have you on the program today, sir. I wanted to have our audience hear it from you specifically, what it was like. How did you get to hear this diagnosis? And then what happened after that when you wanted to try out a treatment that wasn't exactly FDA approved? And what type of, what type of obstacles did you have to jump over? So let's start with the very basics. When did you learn and how did you learn that you had terminal cancer?
So I was driving home. I've been in the medical field for a long time as a engineer and a sales manager. Mm-hmm. And I was actually driving home from a neurosurgery event that we had sponsored. And on the way home, I got a little nauseous and then I don't remember anything else. And I crashed my car, had a grand mal seizure, and then they broke my window open. The police did. And, then I just remember like combating and fighting the, ambulance staff as they were trying to get me hooked up to an IV. I had no idea what had happened. It was a perfect, you know, like Tuesday afternoon driving home to go see my kids, and my entire life changed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's devastating to hear that. I mean, I've got family members who have seizures and, you know, the after effects of that are absolutely devastating. And it's very, very scary. We've got this photo up and you shared this with me. This is the tumor that they actually found and it's massive. This was, I believe, the size of a golf ball was how Sonia described it.
Yeah. So actually this is originally it was about the size of a tangerine. Mm-hmm. And then this grew back within 3 weeks. So you have glioblastoma, which is one of the worst terminal cancers in the world. And then you have early rapid regrowth from that, which is a bad indication. Mm-hmm. And so being in the industry, I knew how bad glioblastoma was and I had resources to reach out to. And particularly my wife and the Mucella Foundation, she quit her job and volunteered at the Mucella Foundation. And the reason why that's important is because I get to see clinical data come through daily from her volunteer efforts. And I'm seeing incredible clinical data. And I got a call last night from a friend. He had regrowth and he couldn't get literally last night, he couldn't get into any of these clinical trials. And so I'm just like racking my head. I'm like, what can we do? And there are so many options that I personally know that we could get that could quadruple. I mean, just wearing this thing on my head is the only thing that's happened new in the past 30 or 40 years for glioblastoma. It's just so hard to get through the full FDA process. And it costs so much money and takes so much time that generations of us are dying. Yeah. And the right to try was something that, you know, it was very bipartisan. It was, you know, Democrats and Republicans pretty much came together on this. So we could access this newer experimental medicine quicker. But when the rubber meets the road, you know, some of the institutional people have made it impossible to use or almost impossible. I think the numbers are like 16 patients since 2018 have gotten this.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that because I think that's really important. I believe this was under President Trump's first term when he pushed the right to try through. And I thought it was a done deal. I didn't realize that there were some hurdles to overcome, I believe. And you could correct me if I'm wrong, over at the FDA, I believe it is. And I also understand a lot of these companies, they're probably hearing from their attorneys to be very careful because of maybe fear about malpractice lawsuits that could pile up afterwards. What is the biggest, or I guess you could walk us through some of the bigger hurdles when it comes to those who are diagnosed with terminal illnesses and want to partake in these clinical trials?
Yeah, so there's a couple different programs and that the FDA is always like, oh, well, we have a program. So you have expanded access. And I can tell you I'm living this world and there is a supplement that was an iron supplement. It was actually gallium meltite and it's right next to iron on the pediatric, on the PRAC table. And I was going to take this. This is through phase one. It's very safe. And what it does is it takes place of iron. So when the cancer cells try to divide, it's not actually iron and they die. Very, very simple, safe medicine. Mm-hmm. So I went to my clinic and I said, hey, can I get access to this? I talked to the CEO of the company. They're willing to provide it, which, like you said, that was a big, you know, hurdle to get through that they would risk that. And the hospital system that I was at said, we have a blanket policy. We do not do expanded access programs for one patient. The paperwork is too hard. It takes so long to submit. Now, once it's submitted, the FDA does a pretty good job of, you know, responding quickly. Mm-hmm. But just as a blanket policy, most hospitals just won't do it. They just won't. And I said, well, how much money is it going to take? You know, come on.
Yeah.
And so we did donate some money and they did do it. And I got other patients on board. So it wasn't just me. And at the end of the day, I was still going to be willing to pay, you know, significant amount of money for all this. And they said, well, you know, your tumor hasn't regrown that much. So you don't qualify. And so I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So that's the expanded access program. They have accelerated approval It's pretty much only for pediatrics. It really doesn't happen very often. And so there really is nothing. And unfortunately, last night I had to tell my friend, you don't qualify for clinical trials. You can't get these expanded access and you can't get the right to try. Get your stuff in order. And that was last night after we had already been talking about setting up this meeting today. And it was heartbreaking because there are things that he could get tomorrow that literally the FDA is just like, well, we got to keep you safe. And I'm like, yeah, it's real safe. He'll be dead in a month.
Yeah.
And so I understand and could write a book or at least a chapter about placebos because I used to design medical equipment. I'm not a dumb person, mm-hmm. but sometimes it makes sense to do that and sometimes it doesn't. And I was in the Ways and Means Committee meeting as we tried to push the Promising Pathway Act with Senator Mike Braun and Kristen Gillibrand. It was bipartisan, but we were just trying to fix some of the holes and loops. And, you know, Elizabeth Warren got up on the table in the committee hearing and she pounded her fist and she said, we have to keep the gold standard of the FDA. We have to have phase 3 placebo controlled clinical studies or, you know, we're risking all these things. And I said to her, I said, you're murdering the patients that you are signing up for the placebo. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a very strong words and the exact wording of everything. I mean, I have a brain cancer patient, so I don't want her to sue me or something like that, but that was the gist of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And it was terrible. It was terrible. And I found out later some of the reasons why her and Bernie and them were against it was the actual lobbyists from the attorneys that sue hospitals and that sue for malpractice. They didn't like that the risk was going to be something that they would, you know, kind of wave your risk away. But if you're dying, there is really no other choice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know you had that.
We've got a great control room. They pull up things really quickly. And you know, you're not the first person I've heard this about when it comes to Elizabeth Warren. People have told me that she's a very nasty woman privately, and I truly believe it. The fact that she would even speak with you or speak to you like that is pretty gross in itself. But it's frustrating. I can only imagine what you've had to endure throughout all of this. And, you know, you just said the story about your friend. We need to get this resolved. This needs to be a top issue. And I'll be reaching out to all involved parties at HHS and the FDA as well to see what they could get done because this is unacceptable. I mean, this is not okay to do this to our fellow Americans. We should be trying to fight for their lives and allow them access to life-saving medical treatment. I mean, you've got nothing to lose. Why not allow them to participate and to conduct these studies and to put their lives in line for this? I mean, they've got nothing to lose. And so, Mike, this is mind blowing to me. Before you go though, I wanted to ask and any information that you're willing to divulge. I don't want to push you too much, but you know, what's the current status of your fight right now?
So I get the best healthcare treatment in the world. And I mean that because I came from the medical device background and then my wife, she is, I mean, she at this point has like a PhD in GBM, glioblastoma. And then she works with the Mucella Foundation, which is the leading GBM place foundation. And so I'm on supplements. I'm on Optune. I wear this thing 98% of the time. I'm what they call a unicorn. With the early rapid regrowth and with my KPS score being basically 100. I always send funny videos of me like shooting bows and arrows, some kind of crazy fishing pictures and stuff like that to my surgeon. And they're like, hey, my score is still good, but I'm what they call stable. Oh yeah. That was a kayak fishing. It was 104 degrees that day. And I was still able to keep my treatment on. That was out of Boynton Beach and like West Palm Beach area.
Ah.
I'm stable. This is such a terrible disease that they don't ever say it's in recurrence, but it's as close to that as we can be. And I just take it scan by scan, and I just hope, you know, I think Magic Johnson, and that's, he was able to come up with a cocktail. And when you're doing these clinical trials, they look at one variable, because the cost to get to market doing more than one variable skyrockets. And so they can't do combination therapies, but the combination therapies is what's going to solve and cure cancer. And so the Promising Pathway Act, or, you know, kind of other options, making a right to try easier with a, maybe an AI overlay to see what is working and what's not. Mm-hmm. That is the real solution. And I have friends going to Germany. They're going to Mexico. They're spending all kinds of money to get some of these treatments out over there. And these companies develop it in the United States. And we're shipping manufacturing, we're shipping technology, all that over in Europe, where there are less regulations, believe it or not, in Germany, mm-hmm. which is a, you know, notoriously a high regulated country. And so, you know, it's just a big miss. And there's a lot of patients that are suffering unnecessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mike, I look forward to trying to see if we can get anywhere with this, because this is definitely something that's a priority for us. I know Sonia has taken on the task too, to get you in front of a lot of important people, and this story needs to be told. So we're honored to have you on the show today, Mike, and thank you for fighting. We'll stay in touch, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get somewhere on all of this, because you and your wife are doing incredible work. And so we're very grateful for that. So thank you.
Yeah. My only ask is that if anybody that's hearing this is able to get someone from the RFK Jr.'s team to sit down with me. There are other states that are actually pushing this law through the state level, because the federal level is such a mess. And so I think a 5-minute conversation with them, and then using real examples to push through, I think we could solve this problem and, you know, save thousands of patients' lives, or, you know, get an extra daddy-daughter dance for them. So thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate what you do for America.
All right. Well, Mike, it is an honor to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. And we're going to keep praying for you, your family. You guys are doing incredible work. So thank you. Folks, we'll keep you up to date on that story, Mike's story. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. And so it's an honor to have him on today's program. Of course, Sonia Lobosco did incredible work yesterday when we had her on the show. And she's like, I got to introduce you to him. So that was definitely an incredible discussion to have. And I look forward to keeping you all updated on that front. Robert Newcomb is going to be with us in just a few moments. We wanted to talk about something that I thought was deeply, deeply concerning. The city of Dearborn, Michigan has launched its new state's full-scale drone as first responders program. So it is the drone as first responders program. According to the reports, using something called Skydo. Apparently they're using these drones that are going to be surveilling the area. Now, apparently they're going to be equipped with high definition cameras, zoom, thermal imaging, spotlights, and speakers. So in real time, they could assist in instances that might be violent instances, traffic crashes, missing person searches, vehicle break-ins, and more. They're claiming that this is going to help keep the community safe. And it's quite interesting given the fact that it's Dearborn, Michigan. Joining me to discuss, Robert Newcomb. He is an engineer scientist and a U.S. Navy veteran as well, an expert on all things AI. It's an honor to have Robert on the show. Robert, I'm sorry we got to you a little late in the game, but we appreciate you being here. The Dearborn, Michigan story is deeply concerning. I'll let you react, because obviously any drone programs have a lot of people, especially our audience, on edge. So what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, it's, I saw it as kind of inevitable, given the way the technology has progressed over the years. But, we in the military, we kind of use the same kind of technology, in Afghanistan and Iraq when it comes to ISR. My concern though is if we're using it domestically, how much we're parrying what China is doing. And they call it a social trust program. But my concern is, you know, the way China is doing it is they track their population by facial recognition. They use other kinds of AI technologies to what they call computer vision to recognize objects within an image. So you can track faces with that. You can track vehicles. You can track, other objects. The area of concern I really have as we move forward with this technology is what we call persistent ISR or persistent surveillance. And so there's already reports coming out where even here in Utah, we have these camera systems and we don't know whether they're, what kind of surveillance they're conducting. Mm-hmm. We don't know. They say they're not doing facial recognition and tracking people, but yet the camera systems are queuing to faces and tracking bodies, as they move across the front of the camera. So yeah, all of this is to me concerning, especially when it comes to our civil liberties. And we just don't know exactly on the other side, the back end, what kind of data they're collecting, processing, how much they're allowing AI to take control or make decisions on its own. So yeah, this is for sure. It's becoming more and more concerning as the technology progresses. And so, you know, you got to ask yourself, at what point do we trade, you know, our security and safety for our liberty?
Yeah.
And, you know, liberty is just this. This goes back even to our founding fathers and why America was even created. Right. They were seeking refuge from oppressive governments. And so, you know, I think, you know, as the technology progresses, we certainly have to have more of a say in what this technology does in our community. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Robert, it's deeply concerning. And, you know, I'm also a part-time Pentagon reporter these days, too. And so when I saw that the Pentagon has selected 25 companies to participate in the first phase of the drone dominance program, I was also a little concerned. I mean, the Pentagon's leaning in on being more of a leader when it comes to AI. We're becoming very reliant on that. And so I'm sure there's going to be a lot that they have to work out. But I am concerned anytime it comes to AI and our Pentagon getting more involved in this. I'll give you the final minute to kind of sound off on that program itself. Are there any concerns that you have with both the Pentagon leaning in on the AI stuff and as well as starting up programs that are, like I said, the 25 companies to participate in their new drone dominance program?
Yeah, there is concern for sure. We've typically and historically have kept the Department of Defense, Department of War, separate right from domestic activity for a reason. Mm-hmm. And there's even been, you know, I think it was 2 years ago, the National Defense Authorization Act allocated millions of dollars towards a new collaboration between civilian airports and DoD installations. What that, you know, the details of that, we don't really know, but yeah, there's concerns when it comes to like policing or thinking that you have to have some kind of control over your civilization or population. So if you look at China, their main motivation is control behavior. Mm-hmm. And when they don't have that control, right, their social credit system, you know, will penalize you and even lock you in your own gated community.
Yeah.
So
Robert, stay right there up against a hard commercial break. I just want to make sure that we get the rest of this. So don't go anywhere. We'll give you the next 2 minutes in just a second after this break. Robert, thank you for being with us.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other
stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder, but I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the show. Robert Newcomb is with us right now, and he is discussing how, obviously, both AI, but most importantly, the drone programs that are being utilized by our federal government and local governments now, the threat that it faces. He was, for the commercial break, was talking about the Chinese and how they utilize software like this. And so, you know, Robert, I want to give you the final couple of minutes here and let you continue your discussion. But you were, before the interruption, we're talking about the Chinese and how they utilize this technology. So I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah. So there's some real concerning things. You know, most of us already know this, but, you know, the way our cell phones even track us using what a software called that was developed in like 2015, it was a software called sentiment analysis where, you know, scans your face and tries to predict, your interests. And then that, whatever company, you know, caters to their advertising community to show you, you know, videos based on your interests, right? From sentiment analysis. So there's software like that was developed over a decade ago and, you know, other things that are coming down the pipe. As far as computer vision, AI making its own decisions, and my main concern, and you know, we just talked about this, but is how we're parrying what China is doing. So And with the influx, right, of our democracy changing into a more social and communist form of regime, these things are just going to get more and more oppressive. So to me, we have to, as citizens, as voters, we kind of have to draw a line somewhere and say, you know, where's it going to be enough, and where, how much are we going to be willing to accept from our own government when it comes to this kind of surveillance state? I'm in kind of the camp that is okay with a certain level of surveillance as long as it's in a public or populated space. But when it, you know, over my home, you know, into my yard, those are kind of lines that I have to draw pretty quickly when it comes to, you know, what kind of surveillance state are we progressively becoming?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's definitely something that's deeply concerning. And Robert, we look forward to having you back on the program to discuss this at greater length. Thank you for joining the show today. We look forward to having you back on soon. Sorry for the interruption, but we appreciate you being here with us today. Folks, a lot going on this front, a lot going on with the drones. I believe we actually have a video in regards to what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan, that lead-in that I was just telling you about. Let's take a listen to how officials in Dearborn, Michigan are detailing that drone program.
Dearborn Police Department was one of the first departments in the state of Michigan to adopt a drone program, and so we have a number of different drones of different sizes for different uses.
When we go to a scene, when we log into the drone, it sends out an email to our drone team and the command staff. They're able to log into that and get a live feed of the drone. And if you have more eyes watching what's going on, somebody might catch something that they see that you might not see. We have a smaller drone that's sent inside houses that's able to go in smaller spaces, so we do have that drone. The other drones are just used for exterior.
Being able to have this is a huge asset. We use it for anything from search and rescue missions, surveillance. We help the fire department with the thermal camera. If we have a neighborhood that's been having a string of people breaking into cars, we're able to fly at night in the neighborhoods, looking up and down the streets, in backyards for people that are tugging on door handles. The camera has 64x zoom. From here at Ford Field in Dearborn, we're able to see downtown Detroit. We can actually see the Renaissance building.
All right, obviously, this is all deeply concerning. We're keeping our eye on it, though. You know, the surveillance state is nothing I'm a fan of. But obviously, also Dearborn, Michigan. We all know about Dearborn, Michigan. So that in itself, to me, is deeply, deeply concerning. But let's switch up gears a little bit. Obviously, the Epstein files were released last week, and there was a lot to kind of sift through in all of that. Now, folks, there's been some interesting things coming to the surface, but there's something even more interesting. If you're up against H-1B visas, you might actually be super against it after this segment. There's a new report in the Dallas Express that details specifically how Epstein utilized H-1B visas, which apparently landed Ghislaine Maxwell access into the United States. Joining us to discuss is Kellen McGovern-Jones. Sorry, my friend, I appreciate you being here today. It was kind of like a last-minute booking, and you know, you sent this over my way, and this had my ears perking up, right? Because we talk about H-1B visas constantly. The last time we had you on the show, we were also talking about H-1B visas. But I didn't know there was an Epstein angle to all of this. So break down your latest report over at the Dallas Express.
Thank you for having me back, Brianna. There's been a huge revelation in the Epstein files that just about everyone else has missed but the Dallas Express. Jeffrey Epstein's operation could not have functioned without the H-1B visa. Ghislaine Maxwell, who was the only person convicted in the sex trafficking operation that was apparently run by Epstein, came to the United States for the first time on a long-term, durable basis on an H-1B visa. And as you know, Brianna, you can't come to the U.S. on an H-1B visa unless you have the sponsorship of an employer. And her employer was Jeffrey Epstein. It was specifically J. Epstein and Company. And they start their enterprise from that point, which is around 1993. Now, funny enough, her visa is approved on the exact day that her father, 1 year anniversary of when her father mysteriously died at sea. Now, there's a lot of moving parts here, and it's not just Ghislaine Maxwell, who's on the H-1B visa, who's involved, but she's certainly the top person.
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting that it goes over and you kind of figured, you discovered this angle to it all. Doesn't make sense for anyone who's not a fan of it. I mean, I'm not a fan of obviously the H-1B visas, and it just adds to our argument that we just shouldn't have them at all. So I thought this was really fascinating, and I thought it was fascinating because nobody else really spotted this one. I've never heard this before, so this was quite the enlightening story. I also want to get to another H-1B visa story that you've been covering as well. Dallas school spent $2.5 million in taxpayer funds on H-1B visas. Their legal services. Break this down, because again, this is something that's happening in public schools.
Yes, it is. Dallas ISD spent $2.5 million in federal funds covering their H-1B visa expenses, which is sort of peculiar. It's not illegal, but I think people did not realize the extent to which the local school districts, which are major H-1B employers in Texas, Dallas ISD has employed about 1,200 H-1B workers over the last 5 years, has spent $2.5 million executing that. Now, those federal funds only cover the recruitment and retention costs of getting an H-1B worker. They don't actually pay their salary. So that is coming out of Dallas ISD's pocket, but they were able to cover a lot of the upfront costs for H-1B visas through federal grants, Title II ESSA grants, which are supposed to cover recruitment and retention. Now, that money can be used for a variety of things, but in this case, it appears Dallas ISD was using it to recruit bilingual education teachers and special education teachers from overseas. And there's sort of a nexus of MAHA, of MAGA, of immigration, all right there in that story, because why does Dallas ISD need so many bilingual education teachers? Well, they have a lot of students that don't speak English, and much of that is due to our immigration system. And what's going on that's requiring Dallas ISD to require so many special education teachers? That could probably be a whole hours-long podcast in itself. But in any event, they are using federal funds to cover those expenses, and they're contracting out to an outside law firm called Ramirez and Associates, which is a immigration law firm that's based out of Texas and also based out of Mexico. And they got that contract, apparently, according to the documents I obtained, with a diversity designation, with the designation that was reserved for women and minority-owned businesses. Now, Dallas has started changing its language because there's some concern about DEI policies at the local level and whether that's compliant to state law. And so they've started striking out that DEI language or DEI approximating language out of their contracts. But this particular contract in the records that they gave me still has that diversity designation to it. So federal funds being used by a school district under a diversity contract to cover H-1B costs.
It's so frustrating when you map it out like that, Kellen. I got to be honest with you. It's a little infuriating. I know, though, that Texas, obviously, we got a brave AG, Ken Paxton, and I know that he, you know, Sarah Gonzalez has also been on the H-1B visa beat in the DFW area. I did a video where Ken announced that he's going to be looking into certain cases. Is there any updates as to how this might work out for those public schools that are doing the H-1B visa? I say it's a scam, but they're out here doing that too. Is there any update on what the AG's office is going to do about this?
Well, the AG's office has not announced any action in the public sector with the school districts. That his announcement was completely confined to the private sector. And there could be crimes going on in the public sector as well, but there's so much going on in the private sector. I think that's where the AG's attention is. We mentioned the Epstein story just a moment ago, and that Ghislaine Maxwell story concludes on kind of a teaser for the next part in that H-1B Epstein series, which is already out, and examines the models, so-called models, that were traveling with Jeffrey Epstein from his island in near St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands to the to other places in the U.S. And these models are here on H-1B visas, and they're with firms associated with John Luke Brunel, who was a famous kind of model talent scout who was also charged with, amongst a variety of things, sex trafficking. And there's been other reports establishing that there may have been a sex trafficking operation going on under John Luke Brunel. He's a very close friend of Epstein, and they're traveling with these models on Epstein's planes on H-1B visas. So, you know, Paxton has taken action to investigate what may be going on in DFW with regard to certain private sector entities, but there is obviously a connection between the H-1B visa and sex trafficking, which is clearly established under the Epstein files that were just released. And that may be something the attorneys general should consider looking into, although he has not yet announced any action in that regard.
Yeah, well, it's something we're definitely going to keep our eye on. Kellen, thank you for joining the show. As always, we appreciate you bringing us these stories. We look forward to continuing on to carry whatever coverage you do and whatever you uncover in regards to the H-1B visas. I call them a scams. I think they're all scams at this point. So we'll continue to follow what you're working on, and we appreciate you jumping on the show today. Kellen McGovern Jones, thank you for being here. We appreciate your time as always and all the incredible work you do over at the Dallas Express. You guys can give him a follow on X. Cowtown Caller is where you could find him on X. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right. I'm keeping my eye on a lot of things going on all around the country. Specifically though, it looks like chairman of the Oversight Committee, James Comer, just sent out a letter because he's looking for some financial records regarding Ilhan Omar's husband. Now, as many of you guys know, Ilhan Omar is being accused of a lot of things. A lot of people call her a fraudster, but her net worth jumped up very rapidly after getting married to a man who was married before, who then after they started dating, got a divorce. It's kind of a messy situation. But now the Oversight Committee is looking for some answers, and they are requesting more financial disclosures from both, obviously, Ilhan and her hubby. It's quite the interesting details. There was an independent journalist who had, and I think it was just a civilian journalist, who had just gone to the place where the wine was being, supposedly, according to the reports, was being made. Now, the interesting angle to all of this is we have not yet seen the specific details in their wine company. But, I mean, it's like a $30 million company. The last report I was looking at, Ilhan Omar is living the American dream, man. I mean, she's out here. She becomes a politician. She steals someone's white husband. She then, after, you know, divorcing her brother, allegedly her brother, not her brother. And then she goes on to start a new relationship. And then she just, I don't know, she just ends up with a married man. The divorce was quite messy. The ex-wife had a lot of allegations that she outlined in court against Ilhan. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's quite interesting what's going on there. So it looks like James Comer now requesting some financial records from her hubby. We'll keep you posted on if, you know, how that develops. But obviously that is something we're going to have our eyes on. Oh, still a lot going on all around the country that we wanted to buckle down on, make sure we bring in straight to you guys. So I want to dive into some other topics, of course. Just so you guys also know, in the next hour, I'll be joined by Dan Lyman, the InfoWars reporter. He's got a lot of stories that he's going to break down to us. Also, there was another illegal alien who was apparently operating with a CDL license. Well, sadly, he just killed four individuals, allegedly. Dan Lyman joining the show to talk about that. But I want to talk about voter, Mel Kay also will be joining us too in the next hour. How could I forget that? I want to talk about something interesting. Bill Maher's out here now in clip six, and he's talking about apologizing to the QAnon folks. Why? Well, he thinks they got a lot right. Take a listen to clip six and what he said.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but where does QAnon go for the apology? You know, I mean, QAnon, which believed in lots of really ridiculous things like, you know, Democrats eat babies.
Yeah.
But they were kind of harping a lot on the idea that the elites are running this pedophile ring. And I mean, I made jokes about them. I also made jokes after the Epstein thing happened originally, that were on the idea of, well, you know, there, like, obviously there was some smoke there. Well, now with all that's come out in the last couple of weeks, there's a little more than smoke. It does look like anybody who was at all able to get in touch with Jeffrey Epstein, he was the man.
We're doing it.
They just, yeah. I mean, and then they all lied about it. Everybody has, and the arrogance also of thinking they could just use their real name in an email, which they did, and didn't try to like couch it in, you know, when I used to get pot before it was legal, it was like, I'd like two shirts, please, you know, and no seeds in the shirts this time. You know, you had to sort of codify it. No, they're just openly talking in emails about this sort of, you know, sexual perversion and that they were all doing. And lots of people who you didn't think, you know, or I never imagined were doing it. I see these names come up. So, you know, I mean, QAnon, yes, a lot of crazy there, but you know what? You weren't totally wrong about that, you know, guys.
I don't know. Is it a win a win? A win's a win, I think. Obviously, Bill Maher, very opinionated. He's starting to see the light on a lot of things. A lot of things that people thought were false. Not people watching InfoWars, of course, but a lot of things that he thought were once false. He's starting to say, all right, they might have gotten it right. This is how America wakes up, and everyone's starting to catch on. Now it's time for them to catch up with the rest of us. Folks, want to get to another interesting story. This one's quite fascinating, only given the fact that Democrats still haven't caught on. The American people, by the majority, right? It's a bipartisan thing here. When it comes to supporting voter ID, I mean, it's common sense. It's common sense. And for some reason, those Democrats don't want voter ID. Now, this is a win for Republicans if they actually decide to carry it through and actually fight on this one. But I won't hold my breath on it. But Chuck Schumer is actually refusing to pass any type of voter ID laws because, again, it's Jim Crow 2.0. Take a listen to clip 5.
So, Leader Schumer, this talk about election security has revived discussions of the SAVE Act, which you have said you oppose. Proponents of it say that it's, you know, to have ID, you have to prove U.S. citizenship to be able to vote, though some of the claims they make, to be clear, are overstated. We know there's not widespread election fraud. But polling does suggest, there's a new Pew Research poll, that 95% of Republicans, but also 71% of Democrats like this idea. So why do you not?
It's Jim Crow 2.0, and I called it Jim Crow 2.0, and the right wing went nuts all over the internet. That's because they know it's true. What they're trying to do here is the same thing that was done in the South for decades to prevent people of color from voting. For instance, if you're a woman who got married and changed your last name, you won't be able to show ID and you'll be discriminated against. If you can't find a birth certificate or a proper ID, you'll be discriminated against. This is vicious and nasty. And I said to our Republican colleagues, it will not pass the Senate. You will not get a single Democratic vote in the Senate. We're not reviving Jim Crow all over the country.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of like the idea of women not voting. I kind of do. I don't know of any good that's come from it. We'll see. But obviously, Chuck Schumer is just a troll. He's just a troll. There's not a single American who could actually, with logic, argue against voter ID. It's common sense. It's common sense. Again, this is what they do. They just try to find any way to not allow voter ID because, in fact, they want the illegal aliens to be the ones voting. Good news when it comes to the fight over election integrity. Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, is really on top of that one. And I got to say, they're doing an incredible job. Her office is leading an investigation into Puerto Rico's voting machines. They're working with the FBI, part of all of this. Now, apparently, this all starts with an allegation that the Venezuelans somehow hacked or interfered in Puerto Rico's elections. But according to this report, there's no clear evidence that Venezuela was somehow involved, but it's just being looked at for now. Now, according to the report as well, this is the Daily Caller. The team seized an undisclosed number of voting machines and data copies for forensic analysts. ODNI confirmed the effort, but emphasized that it's focusing on identifying serious cybersecurity vulnerabilities and risky operational practices in Puerto Rico's election, well, electronic voting machines. So they're not specifically, this is according to Daily Caller, focus in on Venezuela and their influence. It's just the voting machines. We weren't supposed to talk about that. But here we are. A statement from Gabbard's office says that ODNI has found extremely concerning cybersecurity and operational deployment practices that pose a significant risk to U.S. elections. Well, would you look at that? I feel like we're getting a bit of a vindication tour coming soon. Yeah. People like Rudy Giuliani, maybe. Cindy Powell, maybe. There's a lot of people that do need to take a little victory lap. We hope that victory lap comes soon. People have had their entire lives destroyed. And it's worth fighting for. This is why you can't let up on these topics, folks. You can't let them corner you in with multi-billion dollar lawsuits. You have to continue to investigate. There was never a proper investigation done, and we talked about it yesterday. But it's so infuriating because they shut down any type of allegation of our voting machines being somehow manipulated. And again, we talked about it. DEFCON in Vegas. Don't believe me? Maybe you should go there. Don't bring your electronics, so they'll hack them. But these hackers, they go there, and the companies know, and they try their very best to hack into the machines so that they can let the companies know how their machines are vulnerable. If voting machines were safe and secure, why would you need this? The companies know it. We all know it. And at some point, we've got to say, okay, enough is enough. End it. Stop using voting machines. There's no purpose for voting machines in the first place. Again, remember, they tell you, oh, they can't connect to the internet. Well, the guys at DEFCON seem to think something else is going on there. And there's been plenty of studies done that show that they do connect to the internet. Now, again, none of these companies are admitting any faults, but it's worth noting that there's ongoing investigations, and I have a thing. I have an intuition that Ms. Tulsi Gabbard's on that, and she's going to get to the bottom of it very, very soon. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We're excited that this week we launched our brand new Optimal Human Hydration Packets. Now, these are incredible. This is going to get you the electrolytes that you need. It's an electrolyte drink mix. It also contains French sea salt. It's absolutely incredible. It comes in two different flavors, strawberry lemonade and lemon lime. Now, most people who do not hydrate properly, this is going to be a key one for you. This is going to give you the energy boost in the morning to help you get rid of things like brain fog, headaches, fatigue, and cramping. Most people don't realize it, but you do need electrolytes in your system. I do this every morning. I missed out today. I forgot to do it today when I was shuffling out the door, but I'm going to make sure I get this done. Probably why I've been stumbling so much, because I have not gotten my electrolytes yet for the day. But head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Subscribe so you guys can get the incredible discount. And when you do, you're getting a better deal than you would actually get at the supermarket or any other store where you could get these electrolytes. This is top tier products that you're only going to get over thealexjonesstore.com. Pricing better than the retailers. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
American Journal, getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. We've got some of your favorite people joining the show in just a little bit. Dan Lyman, one of our incredible reporters over at Infowars.com, will be joining us to break down several really important reports that they've got up on the website right now. One of those reports will include an illegal alien who was given a CDL. Well, sadly, he's accused now of murdering 4 individuals. Dan Lyman's been following the story. He'll bring us the very latest. Also joining the show, Mel Kay, everyone's favorite. Mel Kay. There's a lot going on in regards to this immigration back and forth. I want to talk to her about, but most importantly, a lot of the key people who are speaking out about President Trump, Tom Tillis, that's a key person that I want to highlight because he was just at the World Economic Forum and he was actually praising the WEF while he was there. Now, all of a sudden, though, he can't vote on the replacement of Jerome Powell until that investigation is done. I wonder why. You and I both know why. Because Jerome Powell is a puppet for the WEF. The globalists. Mel Kay is going to sound off on that. Plus, obviously, some Bill Gates stuff. You know, whenever we could talk about Bill, Mel's a very happy person. Likes to call him out because he's a scumbag, obviously. So we look forward to that discussion in just a little bit. There's a story that I want to make sure was on your radar. It's actually quite crazy because it's based in Florida. Now, normally, again, we keep talking about this. There's liberal prosecutors, and Orlando has a bad one. But there's liberal prosecutors who are refusing to enforce the law. And these types of individuals should be pulled. But then you also have the judges that are all a part of this as well. There's one mother who's absolutely devastated right now because her teen was brutally murdered by another teenager in Orange County, Florida. Now, if you're wondering, what's the penalty for an individual who murders an innocent person? Well, according to reports, and again, this is a juvenile, so they don't release the information about the specific person involved in all of this. But according to the report, this teenager was apparently sentenced to 6 years in rehab, but was apparently released after serving just 18 months. Now, the mother is pleading with the public to bring more attention to this because she feels like she's an absolute letdown to her own daughter who was murdered. And when you listen to the story, listen to the mother and the pain in her heart. Because again, this is another liberal prosecutor taking it and the judges taking it upon themselves to release a murderer back onto our streets. Take a listen to clip 7.
The person who did this was protected more. He mattered more. His age mattered. A rehabilitation program for him mattered more than my daughter. And I don't want to feel like I let my daughter down because nobody cared.
Right now, what happens to the offender after their program conditions are met is handled by the Department of Juvenile Justice and a judge. It does not include the victim or prosecutor.
What an absolute disgrace. What an absolute disgrace. This is going on in Florida, folks. This is going on in Florida. And it's happening here in Texas, too. We have these liberal prosecutors that take control of these county offices, and they do whatever the heck they want. These judges do the same as well, and they get to just decide. We'll take a gamble. Their empathy is always with the criminals rather than the actual victims of these crimes. And again, how does it make this country a safer place when we're releasing cold killers back onto the streets just because why? Oh, because they're a kid. They're a kid. No. To commit murder, you are a monster. Age doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. Now, folks, the reason why I think this is so relevant, we all need to buckle up, is, as you guys know, InfoWars last year lost Jamie White. And the reality of that is Travis County prosecutors are very likely going to be reducing those charges because they, too, have more empathy for the actual suspects because they think, oh, they're teenagers. So they want to give him a second shot at going out there and being able to hurt and kill others. This happens all the time. I'm constantly speaking with victims' families another murder case I was covering here in Travis County, they dropped against all four of the suspects involved in this woman whose son was brutally murdered during a robbery. They dropped all the murder charges against these individuals. This is what's going on. And sadly, we don't have people in power who are going to speak up on the behalf of these victims. It's an absolute disgrace. Folks, don't go anywhere. Dan Lyman, Mel Kay joining me in just a few moments. Stay put.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back. Third hour of the program. Got a lot going on over here. Buckle up, folks. It's like another day, another illegal alien murdering innocent individuals. We have a new story that just dropped yesterday, and it's up on InfoWars.com right now. Dan Lyman's all over the story. When I saw the press release that was dropped by DHS, my heart sunk because, again, this is all avoidable if we enforce our immigration laws and we stop these liberal cities, these liberal states, from issuing CDLs to illegal aliens. They love doing that. They love doing that. Well, sadly, there was another tragedy that occurred recently, and it's got several people injured, but sadly, four Americans have lost their lives. It's due to a head-on collision that took place in Indiana. This happened earlier this week, it looks like. And this individual came in under the Biden regime, of course. Joining us to break down his latest report over at InfoWars.com is Mr. Dan Lyman himself. And he joins us to discuss. Dan, thank you for being here. This story is deeply, deeply concerning because, again, we have illegal aliens who are somehow, some way grabbing CDL licenses, driving all around our country. And they have these are semis. These are massive, massive weapons being used. And sadly, we have now four more dead Americans because of this. What's the latest on that story?
Yeah, it seems like every week we hear a new story of Americans being killed by big rig drivers who have no business being in our country. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is yesterday I had limited time, so I had to pick between covering this story of Americans being killed by an illegal alien big rig driver or covering the story in California of an American being killed by an illegal alien fleeing from police in Orange County. And so I went with this one. I will bring that Orange County story to the InfoWars site today. Mm-hmm. But sadly, four more Americans have lost their lives. Two more are facing life-changing injuries at minimum. And so this story took place in Indiana, which is a very, it's a very busy, high-traffic area for logistics companies moving back and forth across the country. And what we have here is a 30-year-old from Kyrgyzstan, a country out in the stands, out near Russia, out near China. People that are, they couldn't be any different than us. They couldn't be from any further away on the globe. And this guy came into the country thanks to the CBP One app that the Biden regime basically used to flood the country with about a million otherwise inadmissible aliens who would be in the country illegally if not for this app. And the way the app worked, if anyone doesn't know, is that people from around the world could schedule an asylum hearing or an appointment at ports of entry along the southern border. And if they could make their way to the southern border of Mexico, the border of Mexico and the U.S., then they could have their appointment there with CBP, and just about all of them were released into the country, many of them with work authorization. And so this Kyrgyzstani was released into the country during the Biden era. It's unclear exactly when he came in, but because the app was basically in effect for the last 2 years of the Biden regime. We can assume it was probably in 24, possibly 25, possibly 23, I guess. And so he made it into the country, apparently got work authorization and got a CDL issued to him by the state of Pennsylvania. We've covered a lot of these stories, and oftentimes we find out that the CDLs are being issued by California or Washington State, for instance, but now we're finding out that Pennsylvania was doing the same thing. And so this guy was operating a big rig and was traveling down an Indiana highway. It sounds like it was probably like a two-lane highway. And so the truck driver in front of him slowed for traffic, and this guy did not or could not slow down in time and swerved instead into oncoming traffic with his massive, presumably 40,000-pound vehicle, if it was fully loaded, slammed into a van traveling in the opposite direction. And our understanding is that this is what is called an Amish taxi. That's the reports that we're seeing. So the Amish will pay a non-Amish person to drive them around, whether it's to and from work or running errands or on business or other matters. And so the occupants of the vehicle, the passengers, apparently were all Amish, and the driver was not. And four of the Amish men in the vehicle were killed. Three of them were family members. It was a father and two sons, and then a family friend as well. And then so they were all killed. Another passenger was seriously injured, and the driver was in critical condition. I believe there's a GoFundMe for his medical bills and support. And so, but of course, as is often the case with these drivers that kill Americans, this Kyrgyzstani was uninjured. And so he was taken into custody, and Indiana plays ball with the federal government. So ICE lodged a detainer against him, and he was quickly transferred into ICE custody. And DHS gave us the information yesterday, the background on this guy, that he is an otherwise inadmissible alien. He's an illegal alien who was laundered through the CBP One app into the country, and he's now in ICE custody, and an investigation is ongoing.
Dan, this makes my blood boil. People just trying to live their lives, and you have to worry about these illegal invaders who've come into our country. And I just have to assume at this point that they just don't have any respect for Americans. They don't respect our culture. They don't respect any of us. And that's the reason why they're just so dismissive. I mean, we remember the Indians who were here, who obviously killed several, I believe it was three individuals on that Florida highway, that one individual popping out of the truck and just not even caring that the fact that the people that he killed, allegedly, of course, because he's still pleading not guilty, just has no reaction, doesn't show a lick of emotion. And it's just so infuriating that these are the people we've brought into this country. No care in the world. Don't give a damn. Oh, look, just killed them. Literally probably cut their heads off and doesn't even blink. These are the people that we've imported from countries that hate us, and people don't respect us at all. So no surprise there. Just absolutely devastating news. Dan, I want to
say they have no respect for human life, because many of these guys have no idea what they're doing at the wheels of these massive machines. And truck driving is a very serious business. And up until very recently, it's a very honorable, respectable business, especially for American blue collar men and women who just wanted a way to make a living, and very grueling work. But it's a huge responsibility to be at the wheel of one of these machines. They are basically flying fortresses. I'm sorry, driving fortresses. They are like skyscrapers, you know, turned on their side, large buildings just hurtling down the road. And these guys, if they had respect for human life, they wouldn't get behind the wheel unless they fully understood the machine that they were operating. And of course, if they could read the road signs. This guy presumably doesn't speak very good English, given that he's only been in the country a couple of years and he's from the other side of the planet. So they have no respect for American citizens, of course, and they also have no respect for human life.
Yeah. And Dan, I mean, I'm not well versed on the salary of a truck driver, but I mean, I see the signs on people's trucks that say that a lot of these truck companies do pay like $100,000 a year. Is there a big reduction in costs when they're employing these illegal aliens? Is that the reason why these companies continue to do it?
Yeah, we've talked to some trucker organizations, American Truckers United, and others who have explained that a lot of these guys will take far, far less pay than the American drivers would take. And we've actually seen in some cases, we just saw a recent case in Washington State where another Indian driver who was illegally in the country that killed Americans, he actually was cooking his logbooks and was indicating on the books that he was driving with a partner. Mm-hmm. Truck drivers are very regulated as to how many hours they can drive consecutively, how many hours they can drive in a 24-hour period, for instance. distance. However, if you're driving as a team, essentially you can drive 24 hours a day. This guy did not have a partner on the road, but he indicated in the logbooks that he did. So he was driving as much as he wanted. And at that point, you're creating a very dangerous situation with a fatigued driver, an overworked driver. But that's a way that they can actually earn more pay as well if they want to.
It's so infuriating, Dan. It really is so infuriating. And we shouldn't be allowing this. These companies should be held accountable as well. And we hope that they are. But the problem is, too, is I'd assume that once one of these car accidents do take place, they probably just create a new LLC and just move on. And allow the other old LLC to be sued. So I'm sure there's a lot there on that front, but I know you got a lot of other stories you're covering over at Infowars.com, so I want to make sure we get through all of that. And I want to get to this story as well. Yesterday, there was an active shooter incident in Arizona ended tragically. I believe there was law enforcement officers who were killed in all of this. What's the latest on this story?
Yeah, so on Wednesday night, there was an active shooter situation. There was a disturbance in a neighborhood on the outskirts of Flagstaff, and police were called to the scene, and immediately there was an exchange of gunfire. The suspect opened fire on police. According to local media, it was a black male suspect. I haven't seen if they've ID'd the suspect yet. He is in custody, but opened fire on police. And then there were multiple shootouts over the course of at least half an hour, possibly more. And during the situation, all of the local residents were urged to shelter in place. The neighborhood was effectively locked down because this guy was on the loose. And some reports indicate that he was on a rooftop at one point, which we haven't been able to tie that into the helicopter crash, but there's definitely a possibility of a link. An Arizona Department of Public Safety chopper was sent up to give aerial tactical support to law enforcement in the area. And while it was over the scene, the chopper mysteriously totally lost control and plunged to the earth and killed the pilot as well as a trooper paramedic that was on board. They both were killed in this horrible accident. And, you know, obviously stressful enough for local residents to have an active shooter situation, but then you have a helicopter exploding on the ground and presumably, you know, people that were known to the local community perished in that accident. And it's unconfirmed whether or not the shooter actually got any rounds into the helicopter, any sensitive areas in the chopper, or if the chopper had a malfunction. But the way that it went down on video, it just drops out of the sky straight to the ground. So two officers, two troopers, presumably with AZDPS, were killed in that accident. Just horrifying.
Yeah. No, Dan, I mean, it's absolutely heartbreaking. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with the family because that is just devastating, absolutely devastating to see. Dan, you're working on a lot on Infowars.com, and so I'm trying to get to all of the incredible stories you've got up on the website. But it's not just you, Dan. There's other incredible reporters doing great work on the site as well. But there was another story, too, that I think is really very, very interesting about an Egyptian male who attempted or admitted to the U.S. via green card lottery, or he was admitted that way to the country. Sorry, that was my dyslexia speaking. But he's been charged with sadly brutally raping a minor while she slept in her Tennessee home. Now, I saw this story and threw up some brief details, but we didn't have a lot of information on it. But you seem to have captured a lot more info on this. What's the latest behind this story?
Yep. So this guy entered the U.S. under the insane program that we've had for many years, the green card diversity lottery, whereby people apply for this lottery program. And if your name gets pulled out of the hat, you get a visa to come to the U.S. doesn't matter where you're from or what your background is. Apparently, supposedly these people are screened, but I highly doubt it. And so that's how this guy got into the country. I'm checking to verify he was verified and he brought into the country in 2017 under the diversity lottery program, which I know Trump has made a huge thing about. I believe it's suspended right now. But in his first term, he was saying we got to do away with this and had a hard time getting that implemented. But on December 31st, this Egyptian male who apparently is a vagrant, homeless, he was known for living behind a market in the Nashville area. He was known to locals. He broke into an apartment where a 16-year-old girl was sleeping next to her nephew, a child. And she woke up with this man in her bed, sexually assaulting her, raping her. And he had a gun on him. So she couldn't do all that much to defend herself, unfortunately. And her nephew presumably was lying right there, terrified. This guy raped her. And she managed to break free at some point, according to her story, and assured this guy that she wouldn't tell anyone if he would just leave. And as soon as he left the apartment, she did notify her sister, who called the police. And the police came and they took the whole statement. They investigated the scene and then they launched an investigation. As soon as they left the apartment, this guy came back and he was brandishing a knife. There was no further altercation, fortunately, and he eventually fled the scene. But some of the reports indicate that he had actually attempted to break into another residence where there was a young female living. So presumably he was casing the joint looking for vulnerable suspects. He found one. Eventually he fled to the Louisville, Kentucky area, where he was arrested by local authorities there in mid-January and was eventually brought back to Nashville. And ICE has lodged a detainer against this individual from Egypt, who brought into the country under diversity lottery program. Just total madness.
It's so infuriating. I mean, we know what Egyptian men do. You know, Lara Logan obviously was sexually assaulted by a group of them. We should know better. We should know these are the type of people we should never be bringing into our country. The guy who followed me into my stairwell, it is an Egyptian native. And we allow these people into our country knowing what they're capable of doing, how they have no respect for women. This is the video from Lara Logan. My heart sunk for her. This poor woman, she's so freaking brave, such a brave soul. And I don't know why we do this to ourselves. I don't know why we let these monsters, these animals into our country. Just another example. Also, by the way, folks, if you remember, Nashville was where that other woman was sadly raped and passed away after her sexual assault that took place on the steps of a church in downtown Nashville, I believe. Paramedics were the ones.
A Somali.
Yep, Somalian man, who was illegally here. So Nashville has a massive problem. I know there's a group of congressmen who keep speaking out on the issue, but they have a massive, massive issue on their hands. And again, this was all part of the efforts to completely change the demographics in places like Tennessee as well. So that's why they force these illegal invaders into those areas. Dan, I want to ask you about this too. There's this clip that's going viral right now of Florida Congresswoman Maria Salzer. And I've never liked her because I know that she's spoken several times. She's gone to the World Economic Forum. She never once was arguing against their agenda. And I deemed her as someone who I personally believe is in line with the WEF. And she made a ridiculous statement yesterday in clip one. Take a listen.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables, and better fruits. So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status.
So she wants to cherry pick which illegal invaders she wants to keep to this country because, well, I mean, they want cheap people to pick with cheap labor to pick the products that she could eat. This is literally slave labor, what she's describing, and she has no problem just being bold enough to say that. Now, the problem with all of this is President Trump obviously came out earlier this week and has made a lot of statements that are getting a lot of pushback from his base in regards to only going after violent illegal aliens. What do you make of all of this? Because it seems it's not just her. There's also obviously the Republican governor in Ohio as well, DeWine. I'm sorry, that's his name. And, you know, we played the clip earlier, too, of him. He's out here advocating, saying that we need these Haitians in Ohio because they contribute to our economy, which is pretty bad if your economy relies on Haitians. But, Dan, what do you make of all of this now that we have Republicans going soft on immigration?
Oh, it's just awful. Salazar is a joke. She's a Democrat in disguise, or barely in disguise. I mean, she's pretty out there with this, being very open about the fact that we need this imported slave class. And it's gross. It reminds me of the comment that Kelly Osbourne made a few years back when she said, "Oh, if you remove all the immigrants, all the illegals, who will clean our toilets? Who will do all of the dirty work for us?" And that's how a lot of these elitists view these people coming in. But unfortunately, we all normal people have to live around them, and they're the ones, you know, in many, many cases, when illegal aliens or imported labor are arrested for horrific crimes against Americans, a lot of the time we find out that they were working blue collar jobs or in many cases in construction, roofing, things like that. We had a rape here in Florida, not too far from where I live. And the guy that was arrested was illegally here from Guatemala, and he was here as a roofer. And we find that time and time again. These people, they may be going to do these hard jobs that Americans supposedly don't want to do, but when they're not working, they're getting drunk and crashing their cars into American citizens, or they're raping American women. And so we just can't have these people in our country, period, in my opinion. And if you recall, we're probably close to the same age. Growing up, you know, a lot of these jobs at that time were done by, you know, teenagers on summer break, you know, mowing lawns and stuff like that. We didn't have as many imported landscapers as we do now, where, like, you know, you hardly ever see an American, you know, working on a landscape crew at this point, or on a roofing crew, or on a construction crew. And frankly, in many cases, the work that they do is subpar, especially in the case of Haitians. You just look at Haiti. There's no way that we can, you know, say with a straight face in this country that we need Haitians in our country to do jobs that Americans supposedly won't do. And the fact of the matter is they'll do it for cheaper, and they'll live in crappier conditions, and unfortunately clog up our housing market as well, as we've seen in recent years. So we definitely do not need these people to do these jobs. Americans will do them for the right wage, and they also won't be going around raping the local citizens or crashing their cars into them drunk as much as these people from south of the border tend to do.
Yeah, well, Maria Salzer needs her berries and her jalapenos being picked for her at cheap labor cost. So we have to just put up with it. It doesn't matter if your daughters are getting raped, according to Maria Salzer. This is the insanity. I mean, she's literally preaching for amnesty. And it's not just her, too. I think there was a press conference between her and Mike Lawler, another New York, he's a Republican, but he is just an absolute troll. And so it's not surprising, Dan, that this is what's going on with Republicans. They're trying to argue for slave labor, and they're trying to, we live in moderate districts, and so we have to kind of teeter on this. No, this is not what the American people voted for, and we're not going to let up on this anytime soon. Dan Lyman, you do incredible work over at Infowars.com, as well as Border Hawk as well. Folks, if you don't follow him on X, stop what you're doing right now and give him a follow. Real Dan Lyman is where you can find him on X. Dan, we appreciate your insight as always, and keep up the good work over at Infowars.com.
Thanks, Brianna. Happy weekend to all.
Yes, happy weekend. I do love Fridays. All right, folks, I'm keeping my eye on the announcement we played for you earlier in the show. As many of you guys know, we brought you that press conference, which included the AG, Pam Bondi, as well as the FBI director, Kash Patel. And they announced a major arrest, what they claimed, in regards to Benghazi. As many of you guys know, obviously, that was a horrific terror attack back in 2012 that took place. We all know what Hillary Clinton's role in that was. But they're claiming that they made a massive arrest, and the individual, and, you know, let me just butcher it for a second, because you guys know I can't do this. Zubari is how they're pronouncing it, his first name. And let's go with that last name. Al-Bakush is the suspect that they've arrested. Now, interesting enough, Sarah Adams, who I do appreciate her insight on a lot of these issues, because it's hard to find someone to give you a fair shake at this. She has written a book about Benghazi and obviously was very well involved that day as someone who's working over the CIA, but she was somebody who was obviously, I believe she was present during all of this. Well, she's just released a statement on X, and she's referring to this individual as a Boy Scout. Ultimately, what she's saying is, yes, was he a piece of garbage? True, he was, but she's considering him not to be as high of an official as the DOJ claims he is. She claims, quote, he's a lower level figure from our attacks. She also claims that he's not in good health. He suffered a stroke years ago, so he hasn't been a key player in any of this for some time, as she's claiming. Now, this video that Fox just also released, and Fox got the exclusive, as they always do, because the DOJ loves them. So does the FBI. They just print and don't question from those press releases, but no shade there. But they had just released an exclusive video in regards to all of this, and it looks like he isn't in good health either. So Sarah's assessment might actually be 100% spot on. Again, this is her opinion that she's putting out there. And so she's saying it's an important arrest, but it's not one of the top officials from Benghazi. And so she just wanted to clarify that. Here's that footage I was detailing about earlier. This is the arrest. He's obviously unable to get down from the stairs, and they have to assist him. Sarah Adams is claiming that he suffered from a stroke years ago, and so he's not in good health. We'll bring you more on this when we start learning more on this, of course, and when I get that criminal complaints. But as you can see, not in good shape. Folks, in the meantime, we're very excited about launching our brand new item over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you haven't done it already, stop what you're doing. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Optimal Human Hydration. It's the electrolytes drink packets that we just launched. It includes French sea salt, comes in two incredible flavors. And when you subscribe, each serving is $1.25. I'm telling you, this is a better deal than you're going to find anywhere else. You're not going to find a better deal. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag yourself some of these.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible. and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. Let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited. You're on with us. Third lap. Final lap. Third hour, final lap. You see, this is the problem. I normally every day start by getting my electrolytes in the morning, drinking, having a protein shake. Didn't do that today. And so, not all there. But buckle up, we've got great stuff to cover in this next segment because my favorite person ever joining us, Ms. Mel K, will be with us in just one moment. I wanted to talk a little bit about Tom Tillis. As many of you guys know, that's the senator who's a rhino, and I'm not really a fan of Tillis. Tillis is somebody who I think is toxic. I think he's somebody who aligns with the globalists, and we've got proof of that. He's someone who's trying his very best to stop the president's new Fed chair pick to getting confirmed in the Senate. Right now, what's going on, obviously, is Jerome Powell is on his way out because he is set to, set to expire. And this is well overdue. I mean, we've been waiting for this. Jerome Powell reports to the globalists, not to the American people. Mel Kay has outlined that for you on this show several times. But when Tillis was asked about why he's holding up President Trump's Fed board nominee, well, he had this to say in clip 8. Take a listen.
To Kevin Warsh's nomination, are you talking
about... I'm standing by my statement. They know that I'm in that posture as long as the investigation's going on, so we don't really need to talk about that. We talk about other things, but...
Has there
that.
Been outreach on their end at all to you?
Well, with respect to the nomination, this is a binary scenario. When the investigation is done, I will do the introduction for Mr. Warsh on the next chairmanship. Until the investigation is done, I will oppose any board confirmation.
Lastly, do you know if a confirmation date is going to be set, though, in this committee?
Don't know. I mean, they can do it, but I'll withhold the vote. So it'll be a hearing, and then we can set it in abeyance, I guess, and wait for this to be clear, if that's the posture of the prosecutor anyway.
Okay, so Tillis is trying his best to hold up President Trump's pick from being confirmed, because, well, he wants the investigation against Jerome Powell to be dropped. You see what he's doing there? You see what he's doing there? So he doesn't want Jerome Powell to be investigated. Now, that doesn't scream innocence to me. But why would Tillis be motivated like this? This doesn't make any sense. Unless you remember what he was saying in Davos just a few weeks ago. We've got that clip for you. Take a listen to clip 9.
What's Trump's position on the WEF at the moment? Is he still anti, or is he for the WEF? You seem very anti-globalism.
Well, let me put it this way. I represent the Article One branch, and we're very supportive.
Okay, interesting.
Very interesting. They support the World Economic Forum. Isn't that something? Joining me to discuss is Mel Kay. She's host of the Mel Kay Show, which I highly recommend you give a follow both on Twitter as well as Rumble. And she's also the author of Americans Anonymous, which is a book you need to snag over on Amazon right this second. All right, Mel, it's a pleasure always to have you on the program. Tom Tillis, so this is an individual, a senator, is someone who we constantly call out for being a rhino. But here he is doing his best to get the investigation into Jerome Powell dropped. And he's not going to confirm the president's new Fed pick. Now, this is interesting. Again, we just played the clip for you. Because of Tillis's liking for the World Economic Forum. I mean, he agrees with them. He aligns with them. What do you make of Tillis and what he's doing right now? Because I know you've outlined the argument that Jerome Powell doesn't report to the American people. He instead reports to the globalists.
Well, first of all, the investigation into Powell is about $2 billion going into the rebuild of some sort of palace for the Federal Reserve that is neither federal nor a reserve. That is the American people paying that kind of money for their luxury headquarters. I don't know why any American, let alone somebody that's an elected representative, wouldn't want to get to the bottom of that. And like you said, Jerome Powell is aligned with the Bank of International Settlements, the international banks, the central banks, and all of that. Why would Tillis, I thought it was independent. Why would anyone that was an elected official want to impede the independence of the, I mean, he's making it political, obviously. Tillis is on his way out. You know, he's been, very, in my opinion, he's a never Trumper, and he's been on the wrong side of everything. And I think he's on his way out. Maybe he's planning for his post, government kickback, wherever that may lead. But frankly, standing your ground on a, lawsuit against Powell and holding up, possibly the change of our financial system for the better, is just a selfish, self-serving, situation. And, you know, he's been there before. He's been very behind the expansion of the, Islamist in his district and all of that. So, it just seems to me that he's over it and he's going to go out with a bang, in his opinion. He'll go out as a failure. But if you don't want to, politicize the Federal Reserve, then don't politicize the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. I mean, it's that simple. It's that simple. And it's so frustrating, yeah. Mel, to see these people standing in the way. And this is what's going on, right? This is why we have a weak DOJ right now. And it's because people in the Senate, these rhino Republicans are doing their very best to stand up and against whatever President Trump wishes to do. And it's frustrating because, I mean, they're using this for political capital. The president even spoke about that when he was trying to get Matt Gaetz pushed through, is that Matt Gaetz would have cost him too much political capital. And so these are the people that are standing up and trying to push back on the president's agenda. And, I mean, what do you think about what President Trump's done so far? I mean, the fact that Hill is out here speaking about this so openly and openly bragging about holding up the president's agenda, do you think the president's speaking out and calling these people out enough?
It doesn't matter, apparently, what he does or what he says, because there is some kind of mechanism that is stopping any accountability from anyone being, given to the American people who deserve accountability, probably from every single sitting senator and congressperson from the day the auto pen presidency started. I would say that the American people should demand a people's audit of all of the representatives of the Senate and the House and the executive branch under the auto pen presidency, which was a presidency by dark shadow globalist forces. And everyone knows it now. It's all out in the open. The Epstein thing only solidified that our country has a supranational financial / global public-private partnership above it. Everything I've been talking about is in the Epstein files. So to me, the American people deserve to know exactly who has looted and lied to us. Trillions upon trillions of dollars left this country while we had an incapacitated president run by committee of people that weren't elected. Most people don't even know their names. Comer put in about 2 months ago a list of 10 people that should be charged in the auto pen presidency, which would, of course, then start the ball rolling in the entire 4 years of a farce that the American people were lied to, looted, manipulated, and drug into a third world war, all by design, all by plan. That was the whole thing. Get Trump out, get back in, get back on track for their World War III / Agenda 2030 as fast as possible. And frankly, it looks like a lot of people in Congress and Senate became millionaires over that time. So to me, I just feel that the entire Washington, D.C. should be investigated from top to bottom for the American people. So I don't understand at this point why it has anything to do with Trump. And frankly, it is very disappointing because most people, at least in my audience, don't believe that there's going to be any accountability for the people that stood by Trump. I see he has a lot of lawsuits going on. I guess he's going to sue the IRS now. He sued a bunch of TV people, but also he sued YouTube, that banned a lot of us and a lot of this stuff. We still see the lawfare people out there. I know Norm Eisen has impeachment papers ready to go the day that they think they're going to win the 2026 election. And nobody's really talking about the plan for that, but I have a lot of fears for 2026 because, the most ardent Trump supporters, particularly the January 6 people, the lawyers, the electors that all had their lives ruined, all the people that stood up for Trump, Navarro, Bannon, Stone, Flynn, all these people, they're seeing no accountability for them or for the American people. I'm very happy that Donald Trump's private lawyers are suing a bunch of agencies, but the bottom line is the crimes were against we the people of the United States, and I'm not so sure that whoever is controlling what is happening cares that the people of this country were greatly damaged during the 4 years of the auto pen in every which way and are seeing no arrest. Bottom line, why not start with the money? I mean, we saw in Doge all of the trillions of dollars Samantha Power was okaying going overseas. I mean, trillions of dollars went into black holes that we don't even know where they go because we're still under this ridiculous International Organization Immunity Act of 1945. So you can't look in the World Bank. You can't look in the IMF. You certainly cannot look or have any jurisdiction to investigate the Bank of International Settlements. And yet trillions of dollars are disappearing from the United States. And nobody in our government seems to understand that the taxpayers have had it. Not to mention COVID, there was no science to shut down the entire middle class of the entire world other than to reorganize for the Great Reset. So it's becoming very clear, again, from some of the Epstein files, that the entire plandemic was a financial reset on top of everything else. And frankly, a lot of people in our government got very rich during the plandemic. So again, we are at a place where the Trump administration, DOJ, I guess it's Pam Bondi, Susie Wiles, and what's his name? The the Democrat that's leading the way too, they don't seem to understand that the American people aren't going to be encouraged to go out and vote in 2026 if all of this fraud to the tune of trillions of dollars, what is coming out about the Ukraine war, what is coming about COVID, what is coming about the banks, what is coming out about the supranational financial system is all in our faces and nobody's even being held accountable for the fraud, let alone Act Blue should have been investigated day one. We're almost at the midterms and you can't do anything now. And again, USAID deserves to hold an accounting for the American people as to where all our money went. And at this point, you know, it's like, no, it's not about Trump. We actually have to start thinking about post-Trump and what is our message and what do we stand for? And frankly, I don't think anyone in the government on either side right now has any power to do anything. I really feel that the Epstein files are showing us that real power lies above the government. And if real power lies above the government, then we the people are the ones that need to demand that it goes back to the people. Consent of the governed is completely gone in the United States. They don't care at all. Not Tillis, not anyone. They're not working for us. So until we have real reforms like, I don't know, making lobbying illegal, auditing every single sitting senator and congressperson and people in the executive branch during the auto pen, looking into what Jeffrey Epstein was doing with Bill Gates and everyone and planning for a pandemic in 2015. And again, if you tell me in your first weeks that Barack Obama and his inner circle committed sedition and treason, why hasn't that been referred to military justice? Isn't that they did a global coup against the sitting president in 2016, that is seditious and is treasonous, and nothing's going to happen to them as far as we can see at this point. At least there is no evidence that it is. And I'm telling you, people are exhausted because the crimes against the American people since literally since they murdered JFK have gone unchecked, unaccounted for, with no responsibility, nobody going to jail. And I just don't understand at this point. They don't get that the optics of I don't know what they're doing, going after this and that and the other thing, isn't bringing justice for what has been done to the people of this country for now decades of financial looting, endless wars for profit, and many of our, you know, family members and others fighting in wars that it ends up really were just orchestrated to consolidate wealth at the top. It's just there's so many things, and they're not addressing them. I'm very happy that they're addressing, you know, the murderer of Chris Stevens, but that should really be about Hillary Clinton being held accountable. So again, nobody in the U.S. government at all that I can see is being held accountable for the crimes they committed against we the people.
Yeah, and we're keeping our eye on still Benghazi because that update that just came out too. I mean, it looks like Sarah Adams is saying that the arrest that was made is somebody who was not a high up official and someone who's in poor health. And so, there's that. And we saw the footage. He doesn't look well either. So that kind of does add up. But Mel, you also mentioned obviously the Epstein files being released and a lot that we're finding out about that. I wanted to play this clip, clip 13 regarding Bill Gates. He's kind of, being forced now to answer some questions. Take a listen.
$100 billion handshake.
How are you? Thank you.
Bill Gates back in Australia committing his money to medicine. But as we sat down, the world was gripped in the latest round of accusations from the Epstein files.
Yeah, I met Jeffrey in 2011. The focus was always he knew a lot of very rich people and he was saying he could get them to give money to global health. You know, in retrospect, that was a dead end, and I was foolish to spend time with him. I was one of many people who regret ever knowing him.
Tonight, the demand for answers include from his former wife.
Those questions are for those people and for even my ex-husband. They need to answer to those things, not me.
You've no doubt seen the allegations, including some of them from the last 24 to 48 hours. Are they true?
No, apparently Jeffrey wrote an email to himself, that email was never sent. The email is, you know, false. So I don't know what his thinking was there. It just reminds me, you know, every minute I spent with him, I regret and I, you know, apologize that I did that.
The problem is some of the things that he has sent and some of the information about other people that has come up in those files has been true. Why would he do this and say this about you, do you think?
You know, it's factually true that I was only at dinners, you know, I never went to the island, I never met any women, and so, you know, the more that comes out, the more clear it'll be that although the time was a mistake, it had nothing to do with that kind of behavior.
It comes at a time where trust in institutions is low and demand for charity is high.
All right, I want to jump in on that because I think the key word here, Mel, was he never met with any women, but he doesn't say girls. He doesn't say girls. And we all know what Jeffrey Epstein's about. Obviously, these are underage girls. So that probably would have been a good follow-up question. Can you be a little bit more specific, Bill? But, you know, the congressional committee is saying that they're considering bringing Bill in front of the Congress. I believe this is the Oversight Committee. James Comer putting that out earlier this week as well. Why is it taking so long, Mel? Because this man needs to be placed under oath. We need to hear directly from his mouth what was going on with these hangouts with Jeffrey Epstein, because his wife warned him that Jeffrey Epstein was up to no good. He ignored his wife and continued to, according to his wife, continued to go and meet up with Epstein. It doesn't sound innocent. Also, why is one of the richest men in the world going to be begging for change from Jeffrey Epstein for his global health initiative? It doesn't make any sense, Mel.
No, it doesn't make any sense. But what are they going to say now? The bottom line is, like I said, the American people deserve to have Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates in front of the American people asking questions and answering questions about Event 201, about the emails with Epstein. The most disturbing are they are talking about the pandemic, plandemic in terms of financial opportunities and making a ton of money and being a new financial instrument, basically, on the world stage. This goes to the Clintons, to the Clinton Health Initiative. We know Jeffrey Epstein, in sworn deposition, said that he helped create the Clinton Global Initiative, which, of course, is something you get invited into, and then you have to give, I think, $200,000 or some high amount. Oh, no, that's Democracy Alliance, another one of these things. I think maybe $15,000 is dues per year, and then you're part of the Clinton Global Initiative. But the Clintons have dozens of NGOs and dozens of nonprofits all over the world, not just the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative, and it looks like Epstein was involved in all of that. But again, a lot of the talk between Epstein, JP Morgan Chase, go back to when they created pandemic bonds well before anyone thought anything about it, I believe in 2012, 2013. And then to me, what we are talking about is the unleashing of a virus on the world that was obviously funded in some part by the World Economic, I mean, by the USAID, State Department, Department of Defense, all these people, Anthony Fauci, in cahoots with the Chinese Communist Party and military in China at the Wuhan lab. A lot of people were involved in this, and I still don't know how the American people can let it go or not have a hearing, because to me that would sound like treason. If the highest people in our country are creating bioweapons that shouldn't be done, and Obama moved offshore to Ukraine and Wuhan, I think we the people deserve some answers as to why they were collaborating with apparently our biggest enemy on planet Earth that justifies billions and billions of dollars of defense spending, yet they're creating a bioweapon that was then released shortly before the 2020 election cycle started, turned our whole country into a mail-in ballot cheating operation. And frankly, you go all the way back to the Transition Integrity Project. So all of this for me goes back to they have the money. They know about the transactions. They know who the transactions were between. You would think by now that there would be unending freezing of assets, raiding of offices of NGOs that were involved, looking into the Gates Foundation and Gavi and all these other things that Gates controls. Look into the $14 trillion a year that goes through American NGOs, including his NGO. All these people pay no taxes. They start foundations. And frankly, I think a lot of them are aligned with the CIA, State Department, rogue global public-private partnership that stopped working for the American people shortly after World War II and has not worked for us since. I mean, really, this is all much bigger than Bill Gates or Jeffrey Epstein. It's about the looting and the theft of American taxpayer money now for decades with no accountability and no one even looking into the financial transactions and where our money has gone. So to me, all of this goes down to if you want to arrest people, start with following the money and make some arrest and freeze some assets and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Well, Mel K, we're all on board for that and we're waiting to see some results here. We've been waiting very patiently. We're going to keep waiting. But yeah. Mel, you do an incredible job all the time on your show, The Mel K Show. Give her a follow on X and Rumble as well. Again, folks, We got to beat the system. The best way to do so is to support people like Mel who are doing just that. So you can follow her on X, Mel K Show. And she also has the book Americans Anonymous, which is available right now on Amazon, folks. If you're looking to figure out how do we save this country, well, this is a great plan to do just that over on Amazon. So grab that book. Mel, thank you as always. We greatly appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, guys, I want to get to the story. This gave me a good chuckle. I don't know if you saw this, but Bernie Sanders, you know, the guy who sits there and complains about the rich, the 1%, well, he is the 1% apparently, because he spent about $550,000 in campaign funds on private jets in 2025. That's according to the FEC filings. If you're wondering why he spent such a large amount of cash, well, that's because him and AOC had a tour to do about fighting the oligarchy. See, I can't even speak today, guys. This is why you have to drink your electrolytes every morning. So when you don't do it, you look like me. Yeah, no, folks. It's all a scam. You know that. I know that. These people are absolute con artists. Absolute con artists trying their best to lie to young people because they're struggling to be able to afford housing and other things and pushing them closer and closer to communism. That's what's going on here. No surprise there at all. No surprise there at all. $500,000. That's a lot of money for 1 year. Not bad. Not bad. If you want to be rich, run for Congress. Stop trying to work a real job. Run for Congress. Run for Congress. I like this one. This is a good one. There was a DOJ attorney. I got to pull this one up. There was a DOJ attorney who apparently wasn't very happy in court, and she's been fired since. But she had a complete meltdown in court. I mean, this is like wild. This is wild. Apparently, this is according to the Gateway Pundit. There was an individual who no longer, Julie Lee, is no longer an attorney over at the DOJ, but she was one over at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Minnesota. She got really enraged while working immigration courts cases in front of the judge. The judge, who is a Biden appointee, got kind of fired up with her because she said openly in court that this job sucks. This job sucks. Well, that resulted in the judge holding her in contempt and then resulted in the DOJ firing her. I mean, yeah, it probably does suck as a job. I don't think I'd like it. But she was probably sleep deprived because she also said this. I wish you would hold me in contempt of court so I can get 24 hours of sleep, she said, according to Fox 9. The system sucks. This job sucks. I'm trying with every breath I have to get you what I need. So she's probably just a chick who's just, I don't even know what her political alignments are. But you know when you have a really crappy job, but I would assume working for the DOJ is one of them, especially when you're in Minnesota trying to fight these immigration judges. And it's probably a really bad job. So hopefully she finds a pillow and a new job. Cause that just, it's a cry for help. It's a cry for help. Folks, we're really excited that over at thealexjonesstore.com, we recently just launched Optimal Human Hydration. It's electrolytes that you all need every single day. Head on over to the shop and grab it. We have two flavors, strawberry lemonade and lemon lime. That's available right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're someone who's looking to maybe fix your fatigue issues, brain fog, have less of that. That's really important. Or reduce your headaches. This is what you're going to want to snag. I start my day every day with my electrolytes. And I don't know how anyone doesn't do that. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. When you subscribe, each serving is $1.25. That is how affordable this product is. So you got to head on over to the shop to do just that. We also launched those energy shots as well. So snag that too at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, The Alex Jones Show starts next. Don't go anywhere.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, you know, Saint Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me. And it is the bestseller. It's, I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's just InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.